Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, let's just enjoy the presence of the Lord right now. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord.
led me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. There's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path. Don't think every door, I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for.
Nothing can separate me from your love
when there's so much more. It brings is worth fighting for, and I'll be faithful to my wife and children because my family is worth fighting for. No, this world is not my home, but your kingdom here is worth fighting for. I got a mansion over in glory,
Hallelujah.
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 help me say that. Say it one more time for me. It's happening.
Amen, amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Prophetic Grace Network, PGN. So blessed, so fortunate, and so elated, excited, happy, joyful to be here. Ready to smile, cry, shout, laugh, whatever God so chooses how to move tonight, we're open, and we're grateful to be here. I'm one of your hosts, Terrence.
And I'm your other host, Tanisha. And today is, I don't even know today's date. I pulled up on my phone.
It's the 27th.
Today is February 27th, 2022. It's 9:14 p.m. Central Standard Time, and again, we're excited to be here. Can't wait to see how the Lord's going to move. So tomorrow is the last day of February. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, this year has already has gone by really fast. We're already entering almost into the third month of 2022. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, time don't wait. First Corinthians 2. Like the song was saying, verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. He said, things are prepared to them that love him. And trust me, God knows who loves him. God knows who loves him. I mean, we can front in front of each other all day, you know, quote scriptures, going to church every Sunday, being on time, being part of deacon ministry, leadership ministry, children's ministry, parking lot ministry, food ministry, usher ministry, music ministry, arts ministry, sound ministry, book ministry, outreach ministry, whatever ministry it is, you know, that you could be a part of that will look the part to us.
Mm-hmm.
But Only God knows if you truly love him. And he said, for those that love him, he said, it ain't even entered into your heart, the things that I have in store for you. You know, we get excited about things, and we have goals, and we have ideas, and we move toward them, and we reach them, and we obtain things. And that's great, but yet and still, it ain't even entered into our heart, the things that God has prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more. Ask yourself that. So there's more? There's more? Yes. He didn't put it there yet for those that love him. So how do I know I love God? He said, first you'll keep his commandments. And when we're keeping God's commandments, it's walking in the heart of obedience. You know, with the intention, you know, with the heart intent to be doing what's right and to be pleasing in God's sight. And God knows the intent of your heart. Man can see you error and will claim up and down that you ain't serving God. We'd be quick to tell somebody that, to put that out there on somebody. But how can we say that? Because God knows the our intent. Even though we can have good intentions and bad things could still happen. But God knows who loves him. And so we as believers, we as children of God really have to understand that we are just that, children of the Most High, created beings of the Most High. We are not the Most High. We are not God himself. And so in this season, we have to be also careful in what we say to others and about others. Even what we think of others,
mm-hmm.
we have to be careful, also careful during this season, because the ground is fertile. And so when we talk about making a conscious effort, it means be deliberate in your actions. Be deliberate. Be intentional. Do it on purpose. Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Start making the effort to be obedient on purpose, to honor God on purpose. And we honor God by keeping our mouths off of our brothers and sisters in a negative way. But if you're going to put your mouth on somebody, put your mouth on them in prayer. Now, sometimes people need to be told certain things. But again, that goes back to the intent, you know, and then being led by God to do certain things. So there's a time for peace and there's a time for war as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that discernment and having that connection with God will always keep us in the know. You know, we know when we don't know because we put our trust in the one who's all knowing. And so that's just like us knowing, even when we don't know. Matter of fact, that is us knowing, even when we don't know, because the Holy Spirit knows all things. And so if we're being led by the Holy Spirit, we're always walking in the know.
Mm-hmm.
Quit telling yourself you don't know. When the Spirit does. You're right. You don't. So we already know that. So what we need to stop doing is talking about what we don't know. And talk to the one that does know. and hear from the one who does know.
Mm-hmm.
And do what the one who does know says. Say, I can walk in the know. I walk in the know. Right now, I'm walking in the know. Because the Holy Spirit is guiding. The Holy Spirit is leading. It's protecting us. We always benefit when we walk in the Spirit. That's why the Lord tells us to do that. Walk by faith, not by what?
Right.
Hey. You operate faith where? In the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't like you can go to the corner store, give me a six-pack of faith and a 32-ounce bottle of faith and give me a bag of faith. Yes. I want the 12-pack of faith right there. Yeah, give me that one. Is that the 12-ounce or the... Okay, give me that one too. When you order in faith, you can't go in there and swipe your card and get the receipt and say pay for faith. No. It's not where we are. Let's read. Let's go up. 1 Corinthians 2. I'm going to start at verse 1, and the Lord just brought us up to me. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Mind shift. We have to get our minds right. He's talking about having the mind of Christ, right? We have to pray for the mind of Christ. Start adding that. You know, when you're asking God for your husband or your wife or your money or your job, your house or your car, you know, add that in there. I'm like, Lord, open me up to receive your mind. Thank you for me walking in the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I receive the mind of Christ right now in Jesus' name, that I make decisions with the mind of Christ. I speak with the mind of Christ. I declare, decree with the mind of Christ. I live by the mind of Christ. Not with the wisdom of men. Men really think they wise. Men really, we think we're so wise to where we try to tell other men how God moves.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God don't move like that. How you know? How can you say that? So, okay, I guess if we were standing outside and Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro was sitting there and denying the king's authority to stand with what God had declared and decreed in their life to serve the true and living God. They God allowed them to go and to be tossed in the furnace. Many would say, God don't move like that. God isn't put you in no furnace. God ain't finna put you in no lion's den. Why would God do that? God ain't finna have you leave no country, leave bondage, to go to no Red Sea, to no water. He ain't finna take you to no body water with no boats. God don't move like that. Really? You sure? God ain't finna send his only son to earth to go die for him. God ain't finna do that. I mean, God can basically, throughout the scripture, he basically tells you do it how he want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Through whom? But at the end of the day, he's getting glory. God has never used anyone perfect outside of Christ. Everybody that God used outside of Christ were flawed human beings. They had their issues, but they knew who God is. They knew what God could do. They trusted him, and most importantly, they loved him.
Mm-hmm.
So do we really love God? Do we love God for what he can do for us? Or do we just love God for the simple fact of who he is? The fact that he allowed us to be here. He's given us an identity. He's given us life. He's placed us here to do a work. He's placed us here so that people can see him through us.
Mm-hmm.
He's placed us here to spread him abroad. God is everywhere. So let's do our love check. Let's do our love check. And let's really go hard for the Lord like never before. And really nurture your relationship
mm-hmm.
with God and allow God to authentically move in and through your life so that you can authentically impact someone else's. Amen.
Amen. That's good. What I got was 2 Peter, verse 1. The header, purpose of this letter. Beloved, I am writing you the second letter in this as in the first one. I'm stirring up your untainted mind to remind you that you should remember the words spoken in the past about the future by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior given by your apostles, his personally chosen representatives. First of all, know without any doubt that mockers will come in the last days with their mocking, following after their own human desires and saying, where is the promise of his coming? What has become of it? For ever since the fathers fell asleep in death, all things have continued exactly as they did from the beginning of creation. For they will willingly forget the fact that the heavens existed long ago by the word of God, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed by being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly people. Nevertheless, do not let this one fact escape your notice. Beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord does not delay as though he were unable to act, and is not slow about his promise as some count slowness, but is extraordinarily patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So that was the scripture the Lord gave me that basically, if we were to summarize this, don't get it confused. Don't think what the prophets and apostles said is not going to come to pass, because it will. And so just because, like even now, you can see discussions online where people will talk about some of the signs of the time of the that were in the end time, some of the prophetic proof. And you'll hear people, worldly people, say, that's been happening since the beginning of time. This ain't no different than any other time, just like the word said. That they're going to say that. But what God said is what God said, because there's already a fate for mockers and scoffers and those who are not followers, and there's already a fate for us believers. And so we have to understand what's going on, because some people are like, man, what world seems to be getting worse. It is. It's like rock. You can't unrock something. It either gets worse or you throw the whole thing away. And so the world is rotting, but the reason why God has allowed us to still have time is because he is extraordinarily patient and wishes, he doesn't wish for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And so we have to remember during our time here on this earth that we have a job to do. We have an assignment. And our assignment is ultimately tied into the repentance of others. Whether it just be to make yourself available, whether it be for you to minister, whether it be to be an example. You know, you don't have to be a preacher to help somebody come and see repentance. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be a faith healer. You just have to do what you're assigned to do. And don't worry about the scoffers and mockers. Guess what? Everybody's going to give account. Everybody will face God. Everybody will confess that Jesus is Lord. And so you just hang up and continue to do what you do, because God has a plan, and his plans for us are good plans with an expected end. And so we just have to be steadfast and patient and read our word. We have got to know what's going on. It is imperative so that you don't get caught up in the madness. Because it's easy to get caught up in the madness. You know, I know that on Sunday, Nicole's been doing shows about the book of Revelation. And it's good to know about what the book of Revelation says. It's important to know. Because this scripture right here, let's go back to what it says. Beloved, I'm now writing you the second letter in this, as in the first one. I'm stirring up your untainted mind to remind you that you should remember the words spoken in the past about the future by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior given by your apostles, his personally chosen representative. If you didn't need to know it, he wouldn't say you need to know it. If you don't need to know it, he wouldn't say you should remember it. So it's important for us to know, what have the prophets said and the apostles, which are our scriptures? It's important to know what the scriptures said. It's important to know, because God uses, he speaks through his apostles, he speaks through his prophets. Every word in the Holy Bible is written by a human being under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration of God. There's no, If you notice, and God showed you how he works and he uses people, Jesus didn't write any of the scriptures. Jesus was the closest thing to, I mean, he came in the form of a man. So why didn't, if this is God in human form, why didn't he write the Bible? Because God is showing us how he operates. He operates through us. Now, we got the words of Christ verbatim, but even those were still written by flawed human beings. And so we need to remember what God said through his prophet, through his apostles, because that's how he gets work done. Yeah, he could supernaturally do things, just like how there was a time when the hand popped out of the wall, right, and wrote on the wall. And that was through like an angel or something that wrote on the wall. So he could supernaturally do things as well. But God works through us. He works through people. Because people are flawed. And he shows that even though people are flawed, he is not. Because even though the words were written by humans, it's error. It doesn't have errors. The words of God are true. Right? The ways of God are true. How could flawed human beings be able to write out things that work without effort, without flaw?
Mm-hmm.
Because even though it's the human being that's writing it, it's inspired by God. And so it's important for us to know what's going on. And it's important for us to know what's going to happen so that when things start to go on in the world, like even what's going on, right, the Ukraine and Russia, so that you have awareness of what does God's word say about the times that we live in? And it's end times. So that instead of being distracted by what's going on, we continue to do what we're called to do. We continue to run our race. Imagine if you were running in a marathon and then all of a sudden you saw a big fire explosion or something. That could cause you to just stop running and check out what's going on. It's a distraction. But we need not be distracted. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord and continue to do what he has called us to do, because there is a time for everything. And it might feel like time is dragging on, but our realm of time is not the same as God's realm of time. And so he will do what needs to be done in his divine timing. And so while we have our time, while we've been granted our time here on this earth, we need to be making sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do, that we're doing our part. So with that, let's do a collective prayer, and then let's start answering some calls. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for another day, another night, another time to come together and gather and hear what you have to say. We just thank you, Father God, for being so loving and kind. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love, that you would desire that no one would perish, that no one would perish. But help us, Father God, to be diligent in reading our word, to be diligent in knowing what your word says for even our future, so that we're not startled or distracted, so that we can continue to focus on you and the work that you have placed before our feet. And Father God, help us to walk in divine and bold confidence in you and your abilities, that it's not about what we're able to do, it's about what you're able to do through us with our will yielded over to your will. So Lord, tonight have Terrence and I decrease,
yes,
as you increase. And use us, Lord, to give your people what they need, Father God, to give them the encouragement that they need, to give them answers that they need, strength that they need, Father God, wisdom that they need, healing that they need. And we thank you because your word says that you will supply all of our needs. And so we trust that the things that you give us are the things that we need, so that we can continue on. And we just thank you for divine peace over our minds. And we thank you for the ability to generate wealth outside of earthly systems.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of earthly systems. So we thank you all for it. Let it all be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Hold on 1 second.
Okay, let's get our first caller here, 205-531. Who are we speaking to?
Julie May from Alabama.
Hey, Julie May.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Just fine.
That's good. Good to hear from you. Julie, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Julie May tonight, Father God. We thank you for the anointing. Father God, to like I see you, like your voice is being anointed, like having like God is giving you anointing to speak up, like to have a voice, to not be afraid to speak, not be ashamed to speak, but be excited to speak and honored to speak, because when God chooses you to speak, it's an honor.
Mm-hmm.
It's an honor. So you don't owe like man, like you don't need man's permission to speak what God says. You know, you have to just step out on faith and allow God to move and not move in any fear, and not, you know, focusing on what man says or thinks, what could be politically correct or incorrect and this, that, another, but just saying what thus says the Lord. And I just thank God for the zeal that you have now in the power and the protection, and to come against any fears and anxieties to try to keep you in bondage, because not speaking what God is telling you to speak and not doing what God is telling you to do is keeping you in bondage. It's going to keep you in bondage. So we break that right now in Jesus' name. We come against any shortcomings right now in Jesus' name. Any doubts right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We speak boldness in Julia May's life right now in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We speak an upright statue in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the vibration in Julia May's voice and her understanding the power of words. Words really carry power, and we know that because if we put our hand on our neck when we're talking, we can feel that there's power. Like, you could feel the vibration of our voice, that it's not just a sound, but you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't feel a sound typically, if that's just what it is. But with our voice, we have a way to touch it when we put our hand on our neck and start talking. So you can feel that it has power. There's power in it. It's a force. And the Lord is really going to give you an understanding of the power of your words and the power of your voice and what the voice represents. You know, just like when we go to Genesis and how he created things with words. So God has a voice because he spoke, and how things came about because of the power of his voice. And you're going to really understand the power. It's not just words. You know, so many people use their voice for just idle words. If they understood what their voice, what it's for, what it's capable for, what God's design was for, they wouldn't just waste it with idle words, which is why we're going to give an account for every word. Because here we have this powerful thing that God has given us, because we have to remember God created us in his image and likeness, right? So we don't just look like him, but we have his likeness too, his likeness being his ways. And so he could have just had us look like him and just did something else. As far as our likeness, like, it could have been like a dog or like a bird or a fish or something that doesn't have the likeness or image, but he could have given us the look and then gave us the likeness of a dog or something else. But no, he gave us both, the image and the likeness, which means that we have the same capabilities. We have the emotions and the power and even being able to create like him. Like we can procreate and create other human beings. We have the ability to create. We can make buildings, things with our hands. We are able to plant things and be gardeners and all that. That's a likeness of God. But with him giving us a voice and the ability to form words and put it out there to create, that's why there's going to be judgment over the words that we speak, because that's a powerful thing that he gave us. Dogs don't have the ability to create with their bark. Cats don't either. Fish, nothing else in creation has the ability to form words, and it has power and because they have dominion. Like, we have dominion, which is why our words are able to create, because he gave us dominion in the earth. Like, there's certain birds that can speak, but they don't have no dominion. And they don't have the same type of capacity that our brain has, the type of intelligence. They have the ability to repeat, but they don't have the intelligence of a human being. But there's a combination of what makes our words powerful, us being in the likeness of God and us having that dominion. So words are very important. The voice is very important. And you're going to understand that God is going to really give you revelation and divine wisdom of that, so that you really use your voice like a weapon to bring down the kingdom of darkness, to undo things, to change things, to break curses off of people and land. Like, once you understand what your voice does, you're really going to be using your voice like never before. Walking neighborhoods, just speaking over stuff. You know, to others, you might look, you know, I'm like, what is he doing? But you're going to know. You're going to know. And you're going to be wishing like, man, I wish these people would get it. And praying for them, Lord, help them to get it. People just sit there and use their voice for just the most ridiculous, stupid things, when they could really be using their voice to create things and to cause things to happen, but they don't, because they walk in ignorance. They perish for lack of knowledge. So, Lord, we thank you for the divine wisdom for Julia May, Father God, for her having the understanding of the power of the voice, the power of words. And we thank you, Father God, for using her to divinely use her voice and her words to bring about change. Mm-hmm. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How you been doing, man?
Been great. Just great.
Good. You got anything else you want to pray for specifically tonight?
I'm still praying for, I have a niece that my nephew's wife, she's still in that coma since August, so we're still praying for her because she has some blood clots, so that's keeping her from waking up. And, you know, so just continue to pray for peace and pray for everything in Ukraine.
Okay.
Just continue.
What's her name?
Denise.
Denise. Okay.
Mm, okay. Lisa.
Pray for Denise.
Yeah, she has. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Lord, we thank you tonight for Denise, Father God. Lord, we thank you for purpose, Father God. We thank you for fulfillment. Fulfillment, Father God. We thank you for a completion, Father God. We thank you for peace, Father God. We thank you for rest in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father God. We just thank you for those around her, Father God, that's believing you on her behalf, believing for her healing on your behalf, on her behalf, Father God, and believing for her recovery on her behalf, Father God. We just thank you for the prayers. Lord, we thank you for answering the prayers, Father God.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you for us seeing and knowing that what we have prayed for was answered. Lord, we thank you for deeper insight, Father God. And Lord, we just thank you that your will is done, and that Denise has that peace that she needs. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Wow.
Yes, I thank you for doing great, darling. Good. She's doing fantastic.
Mhm. Well, we thank you very much for calling in tonight.
Okay, thank you, and God bless y'all. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. God bless you.
Okay.
The next caller here is 502-548. Who are we speaking to?
Hey, it's Greg from Kentucky.
You said Greg?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Greg, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
How's the bluegrass?
Not bluegrass, Kentucky blue.
Uh-huh. Wait, are we going into sports here?
Oh, no.
You
hey,
say Kentucky
blue. I love Kentucky, man. I was stationed in Kentucky for almost 4 years when I was in the military. And I love Kentucky out there, way.
It's a good place. It's a good place. It's a good place.
Yeah, I want to get down and because Miss Neese said we want to, because I like horses, and I want to see them race. I would like to go.
I live in Louisville.
Okay.
Come on down. Cool. I got all kinds of room. Come on up.
Come on
I got
down
all kinds of room.
Come on up. You're a Louisville fan, I'm sure, right?
No, I'm not, but that's okay.
Oh, man.
I'm a UK boy.
I understand. Basketball.
Actually,
football.
I really don't care one way or the other.
Yeah. Hey, Calipari left Memphis and went to Kentucky and did some. He kept building and done some great things since he's been out there.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
We're doing better this year.
Yeah.
We're doing better this year.
Ain't nothing like the championships. You want the championships every year. I get it.
Nice.
And it's funny. Well, it's not funny, but. As he was talking a little, sharing me about that, he's like, "With you, Greg, you have a high level of excellence. You have a spirit of excellence, and you want things done with excellence, decent and in order. Order keeps you moving. Order keeps you breathing. It's like a breath of fresh air to see things in order. I'm a lot like that as well." Man, when things are not ordered, especially the simplest things, it could really sometimes get my goat, you know. But God has really been dealing with me with the expectations of others, because he made me unique, and he made me the way he made me. And yeah, there are other people out there like me, but he made me for the people that he has me around, so that they could see and they can have that example of a person that knows, that has a desire for order, that moves with order, that breathes when things are ordered. That's why I like to clean. You know, cleanliness, I used to hear it growing up, cleanliness is next to godliness, you know. I like for things to be clean. Tanisha teases me a lot of time because she said I have my own little section of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But my own little section of chaos is out of sight. Like, you got to go looking for my section of chaos. If you see my section of chaos, you have gone in beyond the barrier. So So now you in places where you're not supposed to be. You trespassing if you find my little section of chaos. But that's the human side of us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because although I have my little section of chaos, but everything else I got to have it in a sort. Because to me, my chaos is part of my order. Like I know where everything is right there in that. But in different areas, in different parts, things are in different orders based on what it is. And so God is using you to be that example for those around you. And he's teaching you patience. He's teaching you how to empathize. And he's teaching you compassion, to have compassion, the same compassion that he has for us, because when the word is so clear, when his love is so evident, you know, and everything that he's done is so vivid right here in front of us, but yet people still deny it. But yeah, like Tanisha was saying earlier when she's speaking about he's patient. He has long suffering for us as we develop. And so I see you moving into that phase where God is still going to honor your desires, but your anxieties toward others and how they move, he's going to release you of that. He's going to release you of that pressure, that annoyance, because it can end up messing with your health. It can mess with your decision-making. And it can hinder things, a lot of things in your life. And Satan would use that to really get up under your skin and have you really ready to go do some things totally out of character. Because you can't see why somebody can't see what you see. And it's right there. It's so plain. But yet, you're going to have the patience, the God-given patience. And trust me, God is going to give you this patience to have so that you can deal with people. But they're going to develop. And once you release those anxieties and all of that, they'll begin to develop. And next thing you know, they'll be doing it the way you've shown it. Because of your example. Just be the example. Be visible. Continue to walk. And just be yourself and just allow yourself to be who you are. And God is going to use you in this space to be the light that's needed to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And an example for people to follow and to see. Yeah. And that's what I got for you, Greg.
Amen. Lord, we thank you. Right now for Greg, Father God, we thank you for easing the burden of leadership. There's always a burden when you're a called leader. Everybody wants to be a leader, but they don't understand what a leader is.
Mm-mm.
They don't understand the frustration that comes along with leading people. You know, there's no, it's no coincidence that we are likened to sheep,
right?
You know, because when you really study sheep, they're not very smart and they need a lot of maintenance. They need a lot of redirects, and they can't even groom themselves. Except for groom them, their fur or whatever it's called, I guess it's fur, will get matted, and they can get to the point where they can't even move. They can't walk. They could tip over and stuff. They're a lot of work, and they're just not very smart. They'll follow after anything, which people will follow after. I mean, if you ever study cults, sometimes you're like, how does somebody follow this? It's not a talking marshmallow in the sky would do this and like it. Some of the stuff, it's completely crazy. Like you don't understand how people could follow because people will follow anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no coincidence that we're likened to sheep. And when you are in a position, when you are a God-chosen leader, that could be frustrating, dealing with people. When we look at the leaders of Scripture, you know, they there's moments of frustration, some more than others. But it can be very frustrating dealing with people, especially when you feel like you're pouring into people and they're just not getting it. You almost kind of want to be like, you know what? Just do whatever. If you want to touch the hot stove, who am I to stop you? Let me just let you burn your hand off. You know, because you feel like you're not getting anywhere, spinning your wheels, or you feel like a hamster, you know, on one of those wheels. Like you're just running, running, running out of breath and not getting anywhere. But really it is doing the work. Sometimes it's a slow chisel to get things off of people. And that can be frustrating when you don't see it. But you have to just trust God and trust that those who he's called you for need you. Nobody can do it like you. Even if you have a mentor or a mentee or whatever, nobody's going to do it like Greg. They can't. They could copy every single thing that you do. They can study the way you, even your tone and inflection when you talk to people and the way you walk, what you eat every day, how your style of dress, but they still won't be able to do it like you because there's just one you. And so the people that God has called to you need you. Because sometimes we'll be like, you know what, let me just train somebody else to do this because I ain't got time. Mm-hmm. But it's you. It's not the method. It's the person. It's them. And so God is going to really give you a very long grace, right? Because his grace is long. If we think about our grace of people, it'd be short. Like, you know what? I done told you 15 times. Leave me alone. Where God will keep telling you over and over. We'll keep bumping our head on the same thing. God will lovingly pick us up and keep telling us over and over, if you go here, you're going to bump your head. And we keep doing it. Keep bumping our head. Keep making the same mistakes. Keep going back to the same stupidity. Keep, you know, and he's just there with long grace, long mercy. Where after 2-3 times of us, we're like, you know what? No. We'll get tired and frustrated because we feel like it's not getting anywhere because we're results-driven. People tend to be results-driven. People like to do things that they see a result in. And when you don't see a result or what you think you don't see, it can cause frustration. But I see your grace being long, and I see God giving you insight on the little things. The little things matter. The little changes matter. And he's going to give you an eye for the little things, because little things could cause a big thing. A little spark can cause a big flame. So we don't discount the little things, but sometimes we can't count anything when we don't see nothing. So you're going to be able to count the little things. Like, you know what? I noticed that this person is doing this, and that's something small, but it's change. And so it's a possibility. That means that this person is capable of change. Even if the change is not big, it means that there's a possibility there. And that's enough to give us hope to keep going. But Lord, we just thank you for Greg. We thank you, Father God, for the insight and the ability to have microscopic vision to see even the small things and to have the understanding of his importance that nobody else can do it like him. Mm-hmm. Nobody else has his fingerprint. Nobody else has the touch that he can put on it, no matter if they talk like him or walk like him or say the things he says. Even with Elisha being under Elijah, and I'm sure doing things like him, he still did it different and did greater because it was different for him, even though he was trained. So when we see examples of mentors and mentees, even though they're doing it like the mentor, the mentee always still, it's still, because that's just the nature of how you made us, Lord, that we're all different for a reason. We're all designed for the purpose and plan that you have for us, and we can't transfer it off on somebody else because it's ours and ours alone. So we thank you, Father God, for the passion to continue to make himself available for the people that you've called to him and for him to just love on them and to how to turn them over, how to be there and be available, but to also turn them over to you so that he's not frustrated because he's not taking it personal. It's like, I gave you, I delivered the package, and I'm going to turn you over to God. And if God gives me another package to deliver, tell him to deliver that one. But I'm still turning you over to God. Like, it's not personal to me as far as your development or growth. I'm just doing my part. I'm just doing my job because I need to be able to sleep at night, and nobody has time to be having a clenched jaw and stress and all this other stuff. But if I just do my part and trust you, Lord, then that eliminates the stress and frustration. So, Lord, we just thank you for that, just the mindset change, the long grace, the microscopic vision, and the understanding that he's needed. He's needed where you have planted him because people need him and need what he possesses for change. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wow.
And y'all read by mail today. Evidently, me and Terrence are a whole lot alike.
Wow. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, I gotta have my order where I gotta have my order, but I have my organized chaos too.
Yes, that's what it is. Organized chaos.
Organized chaos. Yeah. Man, yep.
That's a perfect verbiage for it.
Absolutely.
Terrence has a place for everything, but when you see his organized chaos, you're like, what in the world? What is this? But he knows it.
Exactly.
I could go in there and like kind of, you know, fiddle with something and just kind of move something, and he'll say, "Were you
yep.
in my space?" I'm like, how do you know? It's a junk pile, but he knows it. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
She calls it a junk
Absolutely.
Pile.
Yeah, and I call it a junk pile, but I know that
it's my junk.
That it's your junk. When I used to work in an office,
right.
I'm a paper person, and I, you know, most offices, they wanted everything online, but I like paper. I like to see things. I'm visual. And so I would be the type that would have like papers with like the thumbtacks all over my cork board. And I remember I had a manager would drive her nuts because she was very OCD and type A. And she's like, every time I walk by your desk, I have to like close my eyes because she's like, your papers everywhere just drive me insane. And one time I was like, I know where everything is though. And so she starts testing me, well, show me where this is. And I knew I could go to every single thing. And she was like, what in the world? Now, sort of, there's a method to my madness, but that's why I assume that Terrence's organized chaos is he knows where everything is. But everybody who's got something, their thing, they've got a little bit of something to keep them humble, right? Like people who are very neat and organized, they still got that little bit of chaos to have that balance.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's called sanity.
Right.
You're welcome, Terrence. That's one for the team.
Thank you. Wow. I love it. Thank you. Man, that's all right. Organized chaos.
That's my way of saying thank you.
Man, that's my phrase right there.
Mm-hmm.
That is it.
I'm never going to hear the end of that. Were you in my organized chaos?
stay out of the OC.
I'm just returning a few words for you all. That's all. You know, I'm just giving back what you give to me.
Wow. Thank you. You got anything you want to pray for specifically, Greg?
No. You guys are so on target, man. I'm telling you, it's amazing.
Wow.
I love it. Appreciate it
right.
so much.
Hey, you're welcome, man. You're welcome. God
Great
bless.
Job, yes.
And call back, man, and we'll talk to you next or I'll call back Wednesday night. Get a chance.
I'll do it. Y'all come to Louisville. I got you covered.
All right. Appreciate it. Hey, babe, put that on the calendar. You know.
Go ahead. Take
put
me,
it on the
write
map.
My number
hey,
down.
Yeah, because like I told my wife, I said, I want to be able to go to all 50 states and pick out a major city in every state to visit.
Mm-hmm.
All 50 states, you know, we were trying to get out of the U.S., but I was like, the U.S. is big enough, man. I haven't been everywhere here yet, so let me see everything here first before I start branching out. But yeah, that's good. I'm gonna hold you to it.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Thank y'all.
Wow.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you for calling
Thank
in.
Thank you for calling, man.
Thank you. All right, man.
All right, good night. All right, let's go here. Next caller is 828-989. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, this is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hey, Jennifer. Hi. How are you tonight?
Very blessed. Very, very blessed.
Hey, ma'am.
What you have for dinner tonight, Jen?
For dinner?
Yeah.
I'm on my last day of the 10-day fast, so nothing.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Lord just told me to ask you this. So.
He probably realizes I'm going to be celebrating pretty soon here.
I know that's right. I know how they're fast.
I made it through. Almost through.
All the celebration.
I still remember when I did, the Lord had me do a Daniel fast as my first fast and an absolute one, because I know now a lot of the times they're kind of modified where it's just like no meat, no dairy, and yes, it's mostly no meat, no dairy, but the Lord had me do an absolute Daniel fast. So it was like no meat, no dairy, no seasonings, no, like it was so strict. And I remember that last day that when I was on day 10 and I asked the Lord, I said, when can I eat? And he said, you can eat at midnight. And I think I must have went to like a 24-hour taco shop and bought all this food. Literally had like a countdown clock going on for midnight. Because I'm like, Lord, I know gluttony is a sin, but I'm eating a bite of everything I bought. Like, it was so crazy. But that fast blessed me. Like, that fast is the reason why I'm out here in Texas. Because I remember the Lord had, in a dream, told me, basically showed me that I was going to move to Texas, and that was a no-no for me. I was like, I'm a Cali girl for life. There's no way. And but it kept coming up. And so when I did that first fast, that was one of the things I was fasting, like, Lord, do you really want me to move to Texas? I don't want to. But if you want me to, I will. And I mean, he confirmed it. Like, confirm. Like, there was no way. I could never say, if I didn't move out here, and when I faced him, I couldn't say, I didn't know, Lord. I wasn't sure, because he made it so crystal clear. And there was a lot of other breakthroughs I had received. So there's just such a power in fasting. Even when I was on another major fast is when I discovered PGN. Kind of, I think I had Googled, like, processes. I can't remember what the Lord told me to Google something. I'm like, what is this? And he's like, just call it. And I did, and the rest is history. So, Lord, we just thank you for Jennifer. We thank you for the power of fasting. We thank you for the power of breakthrough with fasting. And I thank you, Father God, for supplying all of the answers and all of the whys, because there's always a why on why we fast. We don't just fast for no reason. There's a why. And so, Lord, we just thank you for providing all of the whys for her, so that she is encouraged to continue to live a fasted life, so that she can receive the breakthroughs, so that she can hear your voice clear, so that she could be very disciplined. There's so many reasons why, as believers, we fast, but because it teaches us things about you. It teaches us things about the power that you have and the power that we possess. Fasting is a weapon, in a sense, because even some demonic activities are broken with prayer and fasting. So it's like a weapon, so underutilized by the body of Christ. So Lord, we just thank you for her obedience in fasting. We thank you, Father God, that the breakthroughs, we thank you, Lord, for the vindication. We thank you, Father God, for the truth being exposed, because currently there's some truth that's hidden. And even if it's things that are not affecting her, truth should always be at the forefront. So sometimes we don't really put any energy towards if things are being misrepresented when it comes to us, because we don't focus on that to maintain our peace.
But I thank you, Father God, that you are going to expose the truth, that you are going to uncover the truth of things that are misrepresented concerning her, because you are a God who vindicates. You are a God who sheds light, because sometimes things are in the dark, and the way that you operate, things cannot be in the dark always. Even the way our world works, we're not always in the dark. The sun eventually comes up, so that anything done in the dark will, the sun exposes it so that we're able to see. So I thank you, God, for shedding light on dark areas, things that have been covered up and cloaked, and you are going to expose the truth and vindicate her, even in areas that she's not even concerned about, but just because that's just the right thing to do, and because you're a just God who looks out for his people. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we thank you, Jennifer, Father God. We thank you for long life satisfaction. Scripture talk about, Lord said, he said, with long life will he satisfy thee. And God says, just keep going. Keep going until you're satisfied. He said, when you reach satisfaction, you literally have made it. in other words, you've made it. So here in the earth, I don't think that you'll ever be satisfied with goals. You'll never be satisfied with where you are, but you'll be satisfied with who you serve. And because as you serve in God, your status is always going to consistently be changing, because he's going to take you from glory to glory to glory. You know, once you reach one goal, you got to set another one. You're going to reach that goal. So you're always going to be setting and reaching goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so the satisfaction comes into focusing on being satisfied, which is flowing with God and being satisfied with being in the will of God with your life. And that's where the true satisfaction, and that's where you will find satisfaction at. And you'll find peace. Peace comes along with satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness comes along with satisfaction. Joy comes along with satisfaction. Relaxation comes along with satisfaction. Money comes along with satisfaction. Love, a lot of love, comes along with satisfaction. And so, Lord, we just thank you for Jennifer being satisfied with you being who you are, being satisfied with what you call her to do, being satisfied with just doing your will,
mm-hmm.
and that your will is being done in and through her life, and that as she sees your will unfold in others' lives, it's satisfaction. Lord, we just thank you for your will being done. Through Jennifer, continue to use her mightily in the earth. And Lord, we just thank you for that call that you have on our life. We thank you for that anointing that you've placed on her. That anointing, it's not a evil persuasion, but you have an anointing to be persuasive. You have an anointing to draw, you know. And when you come in and explain it, somebody could be explaining something for 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years. Then you come in and explain it to a particular person. That said thing gets done. All because Jennifer said it. She has a way of getting it into people to where they can understand it and accept it and receive it and see it like they've never seen it before. So Lord, we thank you for that anointing that you give her, and we thank you for the protection, the protected anointing,
mm-hmm.
the dispatch of angels now in Jesus' name that have protected anointing that she has, because some people may try to, they'll find out and they'll try to use you because they watch and they see that you get things done.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come to you with some big numbers. And but all opportunities ain't the right opportunity for you. So we just thank God for the opportunities that's for you. Be illuminated.
Mm-hmm.
That they come screaming at you to where they can't be ignored. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow. You guys are so just on target. Just, I really felt that.
Wow.
Both of them. Wow.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you. just such great encouragement. Such great encouragement.
Wow, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have anything in particular that you wanted prayer for tonight?
Changes recently in my life, and just healing for trauma, and that I could walk forward in boldness and confidence without fear, wherever, you know, that his, in his will.
Yeah. All right, let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now. We're touching in agreement with Jennifer for the boldness, a holy boldness, Father God, that comes from the confidence that we have in you and who you created us to be and who you are and how you operate and move. So we thank you, Father God, that that wisdom and knowledge and understanding is what creates an atmosphere of boldness, because what she can't do in her own power and ability, she can do through you, because your word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Lord, we just cast out any type of fear or doubt. We know that you did not give us a spirit of fear, and we know that you are not the author of confusion. And so we cast that out right now in Jesus' mighty name, and help her to just know that she knows who she is and who she serves and the power that you possess. Because sometimes we have to stand before people who in the earthly realm possess more power than us. But we know that no power is above the power of you, Father God. That when you before us, who could be against us? And when you send us for success. You send us so that change can be made. And so help her, Father God, to understand that with full assurance and confidence in who you are. Even if she doesn't have the full assurance and confidence of who she is at that moment, when she's weak, you're made strong. And that will come. That will build in her life. But as long as she has confidence in you and obedience, she'll have boldness. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless you both.
Thank you. God bless you, too, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good night. Okay, next caller here is 954-580. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, this is Carolyn from Jamaica.
Hey, Carolyn, how are you tonight?
I'm well, thank you. Good to hear you both.
Yeah, it's good to hear you too. We haven't spoken in a while.
Yes, thank you.
Let's pray and see what's going on. Well, 2 Peter 3:17, King James. Yea, therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now forever. Amen. Now and forever. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Everything that you do, Carolyn, in your life, God wants glory out of it. In relationships that you have, God wants glory out of relationships. Even the relationships that have parted ways, you know, give God glory out of those relationships parting ways. And give God glory. If you did get a job opportunity, give God glory. Because the one for you is coming. You know, give God glory, like in everything. God wants glory. Find ways to give God glory, because it's so easy for us, Carolyn, to get hit with the waves of life, and we get tossed up on shore, choking, gasping for air, coughing up water, trying to breathe, trying to gather ourselves, and we're so focused on what's going on, and focused on how that water did me or did us, instead of seeing the fact that you're on land, you're out the water. Let's give God glory for being here, you know, for being able to breathe, being able to even recollect on what just happened. To God be the glory. So God can get glory out of our lives, and we can find ways to give God glory out of any and everything. And so I see you now taking that to a new level about God's glory. God is going to open up to you a lot about what it means to give him glory.
Mm-hmm.
To give him glory. Let's look up glory. It's to describe the splendor, the holiness, and majesty of God. It says that glory, in this sense, is often associated with the person experiencing God's presence in a tangible way. When used in this way, the word glory conveys a sense of heavy dignity. Wow. Just acknowledging God's presence in everything, even in the disappointment, Carolyn, just acknowledge God's presence. Because a lot of times, you know, we'd be like, it didn't go the way I wanted it, but, you know. You might want to give God glory for that, mm-hmm. that it didn't go the way you wanted. Because God saw something and that you didn't see, because he's all-knowing. God knows what's best for us. God knows what is best. And so we have to trust it. We have to believe that and walk in that always, always. And know that God knows what's best, and give him glory out of our lives just for that alone. And so we just thank you, Lord, for building Carolyn tonight, Father God, to open her up to seeing how to give you glory in all things. Even through the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, the procrastination on others' parts, she has to wait for things, and relying on others to get certain things done so she can do what she has to do. Lord, we just thank you for clearing that up in her life and freeing her up, Father God, to where she has a total dependency on you, and that all the needs are met. All the needs are met. And God, he said that he'll meet all our needs. And you'll see a person with a vehicle, right? And you'll see a person walking. And you'll see hear the person or someone will say, looking at the person walking, that, man, they need a car. They need a car so they can get to where they need to get to, all because cars are available. But God is a need filler right now. That man may not need no car.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a recovering alcoholic that's had about 15 accidents. He don't need no car right now. Or it might be a person that is very frugal. Don't want no car. And it is at peace with taking public transportation. Because he got all what he needs. He's got a place to live, food, job, praise. He's right here just as happy and loving God as all. So, but we look at people and be like, well, they need this. And they should have this. And when God says he'll supply our needs, all of our needs ain't created equal. And so what I need may not be what you need. What you need may not be what I need. But one thing that we all need is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And so we just thank God for just being there with you to the point to where you just will just let it go and just, I mean, like, really, really rest in him. Really rest in him. God really, really wants you to like really rest and chill like never before, because people be pulling you 50 different directions, and have you chasing something that ain't even there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you chasing something that ain't even there? I just thank God that the light is on, and that you see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we thank you right now for Carolyn. Father God, we thank you for, it's like sometimes when we take a chance, people will say we have to bet on ourselves or take a gamble. Like there's all these phrases that we use where we just don't know how it's going to go. It's like a flip of the coin. And it's like the Lord showed me a coin, you know, like if somebody flips the coin and you call it, so it's either heads or tails, and it's like you called it heads and both of them are heads. Mm-hmm. So when you take a leap of faith and do what God has called you to do, there's no possibility of loss. Like with a heads or tails situation, that gives a possibility that you won't win. But with God, there's never a possibility that you won't win. And so you got to just take your leap and not even have a possibility. So if you were to flip a coin, it's going to both be heads. And that's it. If you say, well, heads wins, and it's heads and heads, there is no possibility of it, of you not winning. So, Lord, we just thank you for the leap, the leap of faith. We thank you, Lord, for her having the boldness and seeing all things through you as a win, that there is no possibility for loss, that it's all a win when it's through you. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Just give her the knowledge, give her the understanding, the boldness, that's just the way that it is. So let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you both. I can really relate to what has been ministered through you. I'm so grateful to the Lord. Can I kindly share a testimony?
Yeah.
Okay. So the last time we spoke, I had requested prayer for an appointment that I had, and Terrence prayed over me, and he told me that it will be somewhat drawn out in terms of obtaining the outcome, but God is going to do it in my favor. And just as he said, the Lord did it in my favor. It took some time, longer than I had expected to get a feedback, but God worked things out for me. So I'm so grateful to that. Thank you both.
Amen.
For praying.
Yeah. Hallelujah. That's good news. So we'll take that. We love testimony.
Mm-hmm.
We love to hear you.
Yeah,
wow. But yeah, you stay grounded. You stay focused. And you're going to continue to see, like, favorable increase in everything. Everything, but you gotta start saying this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lord, I'm gonna see favor in everything because this is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. So this is the word that you take and use and declare and decree
mm-hmm.
over yourself and connect your faith to
Amen.
It. And see it. And so we've got to say, see what the Lord has said.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is there. I just got to keep saying it, because I believe it, and then I'm going to see it. Because you already see it in the spirit. You guys already shown you a lot, and that's real. All of that
yeah.
stuff is real. It's true. But it has an appointed time to manifest here. So you don't lose.
Amen.
You don't lose your faith. Don't lose it. You hold. Hang on in there. And we love you, Carolyn. Yeah.
Love you too. Before I leave, I'm going to ask also for you to agree with me in prayer, as I have another appointment coming up sometimes next week, that the Lord will equip me and it will be favorable also. Thank you.
Well, we thank you right now for Carolyn. We thank you for the favor.
Yes.
That you have on her life, Father God. We just ask, Lord, for a favorable outcome. We ask for it to be accelerated,
mm-hmm.
for no time to be wasted,
mm-hmm.
and that it would happen in the shortest amount of time, with the highest amount of favor.
Yeah.
We just thank you, Father God, that you are already tilling the ground and creating the path and doing what's necessary to get this taken care of so that she can just rest, doesn't have to worry about it, doesn't have to do anything extra, that it will just be done through your hand. So let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you both. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night.
You too, Carol.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Goodbye.
Bye. All right. Let's get to our next caller here, which is 754-240.
Hey guys, how you guys doing? This is Don LaTanya from Florida.
What's
hey,
up?
Don LaTanya, how are you?
What's going on, fam?
Nah, we good. What's good? What's good?
What's going on?
Why when you started talking, this is going to sound so bizarre, but it won't, because we know we serve God and he just sometimes does weird stuff. That Whitney Houston song came in my head. I believe the children are future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. show them all the beauty they possess inside. I can't sing. But that song came in my head. I can't sing it like Whitney. Nobody can sing it like Whitney. So that's even insulting that
no,
I thought
not like
sing
Whitney.
But he gave me a voice. It's a voice that's not nowhere near. If I was to compare myself to Whitney, they would throw me in a padded room somewhere. But when you started talking to Donald, I heard that that song playing. So I'm thinking of the lyrics now. I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. So
beauty
that they possess inside. So it's like you have something in you. Yeah, to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be.
I decided long ago. Shadow. If I fail, I succeed.
Don't get me alone. I got to pull up the lyrics. That came out when we was literally like, oof. What, first grade, second grade? But the lyrics,
yeah,
it's,
exactly.
Like,
mm-hmm.
It's like God has put something in the both of you for children to like raise children up. I still remember, because I wasn't raised in church. I wasn't raised in a immoral household. You know, in hindsight, we were taught a lot of godly principles, but we were not raised like going to church and that kind of thing. Like we were even taught to say prayers good night, even though we didn't know who or what we were praying to. We didn't quite know what prayer was, but we were taught, my parents taught us that, and to pray over our, bless our food and stuff like that. But we didn't necessarily have any type of faith-based religious training or whatever. But I remember that the preschool that we went to, which ended up being our after-school care too, once we started primary school, was ran by Christian women. And they taught us godly things there. And I still remember that. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like three going to that pre-K, but I still remember the things that they taught us. And so it's like God will always use people to fill in where parents are kind of failing in an area. And I see God using both you and Tanya to fill in when it comes to children. Because children are like little gardens. They need the seeds. So all you got to do is just plant the seeds in them. And I see, you know, I still remember the women, Miss Murray, and there was different Miss Murray. I remember her the most because she was we thought she was kind of mean. She was church mean. You know, she had her way of loving us, but she didn't play. And she was always, we had to always talked about godly things. Had very high standards, but in hindsight now I can see that she was teaching us biblical principles and filling in the gap. So some people are really called for that. Some people there's people that are anointed in the area of like children and that kind of thing, babies. Like I know every church I've ever been a part of, I always somehow end up in children's ministry, even though I'm like I'm not working children's ministry. And then here I am. I always will end up being in children's ministry, but I know that I have an anointing for children, even though that's not ever been my profession. I've never, you know, I worked at a child care and all that before, but that was when I was a teenager because I had decided that I was going to be a preschool teacher or something like that. And then that just didn't work out because I kept getting sick and kids was making me literally sick. Like I got ringworm, chicken pox, colds, flus. I was like, you know what? This ain't, no, I'm not about that life. But it's just that I didn't have that connection to God to know that he had placed something in me for children. I have ability to break things down for children to make it easy to understand. Children love me. So this is something in me that God has placed for children. And I see God using both of you to sow seeds into children. That's all they need. They need the seeds because nothing grows without seed. Nothing. You can have the best land on the planet. You'll put no seed in the ground. It's just not going to do anything. Oh, the call hung up, I think. Let's see if they call back. Yeah, that was their call. It dropped. Let me go down, see if they call back. Let's give them a little bit of time. That way they can call back. And there they go. All right, there you guys go.
Yeah.
Call drop. But yeah, there's something in you that children need. There's some seeds in the both of you that children need because we're living in, you know, there's some perilous times that we're living in, and if we see the way children are with their parents, this is a different breed of children. And we don't just say, well, that's just the way it is. No, we always are striving for excellence. We're always in a position to train children up in the way that they should go. And sometimes the parent is not able to do that. And that's our job. You know, God will let us know where to step in and what needs to be done or said, or sometimes it could just be a word of encouragement. I still remember my kindergarten teacher telling me that, I remember crying on the playground. I was five. And she asked me what was wrong, and I told her I knew things sometimes. And she was like, you know, what do you mean like you know things? And I'm like, well, sometimes I'll know something's going to happen before it happens. And I was just boo-hoo crying. And I was like, that's weird, and nobody else does that. And she told me that was a gift from God and that I should be happy about that because God chose me to know that. Now, I didn't know about God in that sense. I was five and was not raised in church. But that stuck with me. I still remember that, you know, that was 30 something years ago. And I still remember the teacher, Mrs. Gaines, having that conversation with me. And I remember just kind of skipping off like, oh, she told me I was special. She was like, God made you special. And that's something you should be excited about. That's a good thing. And so I was like, okay, even though I didn't quite understand, I didn't know who God was, but I knew who God was, even though I didn't. And I remember skipping off and being happy. So she filled in. I could have, that experience, if it was placed in the wrong hands, could have put a very bad seed in me. But she sowed a good seed in me, so I didn't see prophecy as something weird or prophecy as something bad, so to speak, because I'm not going to say that I don't even still see it as weird. But she made it to where she sowed a seed in me to where I never saw it as bad, even when I didn't understand it. I knew it wasn't a bad thing because at 5 years old, a trusted adult told me that it was a good thing and that it made me special. So I see you and Tanya both being used to sow seeds that children need. I needed that at five. If I didn't have that seed at five, I probably wouldn't be where I am now. Because not my mom, not my dad, but another adult, she could have got fired for that, for saying that to me.
Yeah.
Looking back in hindsight, her job was on the line, but she said what needed to be said. And I don't even think I told my mom or my dad or anybody about it. Just the day went on, you know, we had story time and took a nap and lunch and all that. Like she made it to where it just wasn't really a big deal, but it was a big deal. Like, oh, you can see things. Oh, God made you special, and you should be excited. Like, that's nothing to cry about, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, okay, and it's kind of skipped off. So So it wasn't to where my mom said anything, you know, significant happened today at school. No, because she made it so normal to me that it didn't stand out that much to me. But I still, all these years later, remember the hand that God had on my life through other adults. You know, my parents eventually got it together as far as their relationship with God. But while I was being raised, he used other adults to step in, other adults to prophesy over me or speak over me or invite me to church or try to teach me little things. I see now in hindsight, it was seeds. They were sowing little seeds in me that eventually sprouted at the right time. So the seeds matter. Lord, we just thank you right now for Donald and Tanya, Father God. We thank you for using them both collectively, using them together to make a difference in the lives of children who need the seed, who need the seed. Because you say that you supply all of our needs, Father God, and these children need that seed, and use them, Father God, to sow seeds to where years and years later, you know, people will be adults and say, hey, I remember when I was a kid, you told me this, or I remember watching you and you showed me this. But use them, Father God, to be an example, to sprout a harvest of soldiers for Christ, a harvest of adults who serve you wholeheartedly, who love you, who don't just follow religious trends or, but who have a sincere heart for you. So bless them, Father God, in every area of their lives, Father God, and make things happen for them. Open doors for them, Father God. Cut through the red tape, so to speak, where there's things that are regulated or are hard to get or obtain. Cut through that for them and clear the path. Bulldoze all of the obstacles to where the paths are smooth so that they're able to take care of business and get things done. So we just love you and honor you. Let it all be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Lord, thank you for Donald and Tanya. What I got for y'all is that it's significant, the cohesiveness of being cohesive, being stuck, I mean, being infused together, welded together, when it comes down to decisions being made, and when it comes down to what you're building on, the cohesiveness, it's going to be very imperative. Like, a lot of the time, it cohesiveness can work like this. Let me explain it. It doesn't mean you got to agree on everything. You know, it doesn't mean that you both are going to see the same things at the same time. Okay? But the cohesiveness of the plan of God working and flowing is knowing who the source is. With God being the source, he's what's keeping everything together. Because when he shows Tanya something that Donald doesn't see or quite understand, Donald goes to God and, Lord, reveal this to me. You show my wife this and I don't quite see it. Okay. God gonna tell Donald how to feel about it. He gonna tell Donald what to do about it. Well, say something, say nothing. Relax. Ask this question. Don't ask that question. God gonna tell Donald what to do based off of what he's giving Tanya, because he probably gave Tanya something that he don't even want you to see right now, but just want you maybe to support right now. Because you trust God, you know. God would let either one of you know whether to press the matter or to pull back. And that's going to be the cohesiveness in moving forward when much is coming. Because to whom much is given, much is required. man, you got to run like a well-oiled machine. An impenetrable unit. Like nothing that Satan can come at y'all with. Like he's wasting his time.
Mm-hmm.
Wasting his time when you're welded and you are a cohesive unit and you have nurtured your relationship based off of what God said. And this is not being religious. This ain't trying to say you gotta be sitting around, man, in a four-piece suit all day with your preacher cloth, you know, and hooping and hollering. No, that's not what this is. It's something real. And God is using you guys in a very unique way to show people something real. What you guys have is what the world is shying away from. They're trying to kill family, real family, what God designed a family to be. And so God still needs those examples in place, those people in place to show, to still let the world know, hey, God is real. Y'all sit up here and want to identify what you want to identify with. You try to live how you want to live and disregard what God is saying if you want. That's your choice. Absolutely. That is a choice. You're right. You know, a lot of us, we all make choices, but everybody don't make the right choice. You know, the world be hopping on choices. It's your choice. It's your right. You can decide to do whatever you want. That is so much truth in there. But what they fail to realize and fail to share is that not only can you choose what you want, you can also choose right or you can choose wrong. That's what the world is telling folks. That it's a right and wrong. They want to make everything wrong right. And everything that stands for right, wrong. And that's why God needs a family. That's why God needs that example still here in the earth to show men what to show these males what men look like. God needs females, women to show these other females what women look like. The world needs to see what a real family looks like. You turn on the TV, you don't see men as real families no more. And what it should look like. The idea of it anyway, at least. But the cohesiveness is what's going to be like the armor. It's going to be armor in the time of war. Y'all never forget that. Never forget that. Never forget that. Like, when y'all, it's going to get to the point to where you guys will never look at anything as an argument.
Mm-hmm.
You would look at it as a conversation and a difference of opinions or views that we're waiting on God to give us clarity on to show us exactly what we need to do. That's it. Because God is going to always be right. God is going to be the one always right. So if we both turn it to him, that means we're going to always stay solid. We're going to always be walking in truth.
Mm-hmm.
Be walking in truth. And that's what's going to go bond you guys even tougher, like bulletproof, for real. be able to go anywhere in any environment and be successful. Because it's not where, a lot of times it ain't where you're going. Who you got with you, though?
Mm-hmm.
Who you with? Yeah. Hey, I got the love with me. My wife tell you, like, I bring the fear when I walk in. Mm. I know what I got. I got jokers. They walk up on me, 6'5". Here I am, 5'9". Hey, what's up, big dog? They know who it is. What's this there, mate? For a joker bigger than me to look at me and say, what's up, big dog?
They do it all the time too.
You know? And I tell her, I'm like, I don't know, but see, the Lord used her to explain it to me too. Says it's what you carry.
Mm-hmm.
It's the God in you that they see.
Right.
Then what's in them recognizes what you got.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they say, what's up, big dog? And that's you, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's y'all.
Mm-hmm.
When y'all step in, y'all the big dogs. And you don't walk in it with an arrogance.
Right.
You walk in it with an assurance in knowing your identity, knowing who you are. You're walking in it with clarity, like, I know who I am. Mm-hmm. And that's how you live. That's how you move. And you don't make no excuses for it. It's a confidence in my Father. I'm walking in the authority that He has given me. Mm-hmm. He provided me this. It's nothing in and of myself. It's Him. And so you might want to get to know Him, so you can walk in this authority too, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But we just thank God for being the bond, that you guys need to see past, to see beyond where you are and what you're going through, to see beyond, so you get to that place of glory, that place of rest, the place of things where things just happen automatically. It's that place where we always get through. We always got to go through to get to. And be present in the moment by seeking the benefits of those moments, because the excitement is driving you through where you are. It's driving you through to get to what God has shown you. That's how real it has to be. It's not an if thing. When God shows you something, that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real thing. We are headed towards this. This ain't nothing that might happen, babe. This ain't something that we hope happens. Oh, I wish it would happen. Or God willing. No, this is what God said.
Mm-hmm.
And so because this is what God said, that's what I believe. And so I'm lining my life up to walk like that's what it is. Because that is what it is.
That's right.
This is what God said. So I'm going to do the things in my life that's conducive to support that. Look, God says that you ain't going to never have to worry about money no more. If God tells you that, right, you got to start thinking like that now. That's who you are. You ain't no problem to me. So what? I got $3 in my account right now. Money ain't no problem to me. Just because I ain't shaking in my boots because I got $3 in my account, because the $3 ain't my provider. The $3 ain't my source. That's the resource. That's a tool that's used. Because just like it could be $3 in there right now, in the next 5 minutes, it could be $3 million in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the God that we serve. You could get phone calls. Hey, man, look. All your debt has been canceled. And yeah, it's been paid for. Are you sure? Yes, we're sure. So all y'all, can we get that in writing? Yes. We've already sent your letter out. Well, thank you. These are the things that you look forward to happening. Because when God says money is not going to be an issue in your life, trust that. We start to thinking, okay, if God says this, okay, how can I help?
That's the end of the way.
Lord, they hate you. Yeah? Oh, I'm going to call. I need to get this done. I need to probably try to pick up a couple extra hours, you know, to get this right here, and I can knock this down, I can knock that down. Ain't nothing wrong with getting plans and all that, but God says that you ain't going to never have to work for, you know, want for money, and money ain't going to be a problem for you, so you ain't going to have to labor for it like that at all. No, you're not going to have to, like, you ain't going to have to labor for it, like working for money. No, you work to do for the Lord, to do the work of the Lord. Money just so happens comes along with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But I'm not working for that money, because the moment that I work for money is the moment that I die. My life means nothing.
Amen.
I'm working for money? I'm working for something we made. I'm working for something that can grow out of my yard, they break that tree down and put some stamps on it and send it right back to me, and then it disappears from my hand and then goes into a computer as data and turns into a number now. And they put it on a card. So how real is this? how real is this? You know? You mean tell me You could press a button and mess up a whole system, and now nobody knows what they got no more. Everybody counts the white clean to zero. Ooh, you imagine that? This folks be panicking, won't they?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks be panicking around. Ooh.
Yeah, a lot of splashes from bridges.
Oh,
people will be ready to end it off.
They doing the dive from the top of them buildings.
Mm-hmm.
At that point,
it would be really bad.
Because that's the power that money has.
Mm-hmm. That's because and money in itself don't have the power. It's based on what power people give it.
Mm-hmm. The love of it. And that's through the power that we give it.
People give it power.
We love it. They love it. And it ain't nothing. So we don't work for money. I don't work for money.
No.
I get compensated for things, but that's not what I'm working for.
Yes.
No, not at all. Work for money. I can't kill that saying, that theory. But what do you do for a living? Man, I pray every day and by grace of God, I keep waking up. Because God is keeping me alive.
Amen.
I believe to start telling people that, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a believer. You what?
believer.
And people do say that, like that tends to be like the chatter, you know, that kind of icebreaker conversation. People ask, what do you do for a living?
Mm-hmm.
Because they tie your living to your job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like I serve God for a living.
Yeah. I do the work of the Lord.
You say that they go, no, since you're a pastor.
I don't want to be like, oh, what church you pastor? I don't know yet, but one thing for sure is that God is with you guys, and He loves y'all. And I mean, it's so much in store. Just one day at a time. With one day at a time, one day at a time. That's all that matters. Keep waking up, and I promise you. Just like that, you'd be like, how did we get here? Like, man, I remember when we was doing this and, like, all of a sudden, because within, I say less than a year, God took, well, let's say about a year's time, man, God took me through a series of things, and Miss Lisa just talking with today or yesterday, one of about, like, where we are now and how when we were in a situation we didn't want to be in, now that how we felt then don't even matter right now. It didn't even matter to me.
Amen.
So I look back like, man, I wasted time talking about that. I wasted time even feeling that certain way about that because I already knew what God said. And we write what God said we was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I had to ask for forgiveness. Like, Lord, thank you for having mercy on me during that time when I was in my feelings. Saying things I shouldn't have been saying. Thinking about things I ain't need to be thinking about. Doing things I ain't need to be doing. Thank you. Really do. Because right now, none of that even matters. Like, that is over. That is done. That is so far behind us right now. So far removed from us right now. It's over with. And so, but one thing God opened me up to, guys, was when He was ministering me about being in the moment and being in the moment and looking at all the benefits of that moment and seeking to see all of the good that's coming out of that time and that place that you don't want to be in. And before you know it, you ain't got to go through that. You ain't got to deal with it. You ain't got to deal with nothing. Just let it go. Let it go. And we just thank God for it all being done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. And I felt the words. It's like yours and Tanisha, where they collaborate into, you know, what we've been, because usually that's how me and Tanya usually operate as far as, you know, what's the word you used earlier? I forgot it right now, the word you were saying about when cohesiveness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, but that's how it is, because there's certain times, you know, she might come up with an idea or vice versa. But I know coming from, you know, my point of view, like she might come up with an idea and I don't know too much about it or I'm not, you know, I'm not ready to go with it. And then I'll go to God and, you know, and I'll ask him, I say, you know, make it plain, confirm this to me or, you know, what's going on. And, you know, he's done it, you know, he's done it in the past. So
that's sort of how, that's sort of how we operate, you know. And even when Tanisha, you talking about, you know, the kids and stuff, we've been in the motion, like, as far as, we've been looking into a preschool, but trying to own like a Christian preschool, and what we need to do to go about getting it. So we finding out like what we need to do to even get one, to get a school, get a daycare, a preschool, and but that's number one thing. We want to open a Christian one.
Starts talking to me, I feel like it was more like a confirmation, because this is what we've been looking into. You know, this has always been a dream of mine. I'm a teacher, you know, I've been teaching for like 7 years. I love kids. So when she was speaking, talking about how she, you know, kids love, you know, love her, I'm like, that sounds like me, because, you know, I have kids. I work now as a VPK teacher, and then kids always, you know, gravitate to me. It's always, man, kids love you so much. So, and ever since I was a little girl, you know, I'll be in the neighborhood, so I'll be, you know, I'll tell them, call me mom. So I was like the little girl, and then I was older, a little bit older, maybe 3-4 years older. So I was like their mom. So I've always known that I wanted to be a teacher. So I went to school. I got my master's degree. Now I've always wanted to open my own school, to do my own thing. So when she mentioned that, and this is what we've been doing currently, we've been looking at preschool. I said, God, you know, I've been working for people. We stepping out on faith. I really, you know, my dream has always been, you know, because I know I can sow seeds, you know. Like she said, I know I have a gift. I don't even call it a job to me. I feel like it's a gift. You know, my parents always telling me, Ms. Baptiste, you just don't know. You know, I have kids that come in my classroom. Sometimes I'm just sowing seed. I'm sowing into them. So I feel like it was more like a confirmation as soon as you start speaking about that. So we just praying. I step out on faith. I've been looking at schools and again, Christian schools. So we just waiting to see what God gonna do this season. And, you know, Donald also always been supportive, you know, like you were saying, like you guys were saying, it's always, I come up with an idea and it's like, all right, okay, I don't see it, but hey, listen, you know, he's very supportive. So he said, I'll go to God. God will make it plain. Because for some reason, I'm always coming with those spontaneous ideas. Even the house, you know, one day I was like, I think it's time for us to move. It's like, huh? And now we have a brand new house. So because it's like, what do you mean? I said, I just have the desire. I went. I saw some houses. I'm like, this is my dream home. And I went and looked at it. We didn't get that one, but God had something better. And I remember when I mentioned to Donald, I think in his mind is like, this woman is crazy, because we have a house. And here I am just looking for houses. So he prayed God to make it plain. And one time he asked Randy just like that and just asking for prayer. And then Randy mentioned the house. He was like, wow. So he came up with so many oppositions, but the fact that we know Randy gave us the yes, and we know it was God. God spoke to Randy. We went through so much to get the house, but we know God was in it, so it makes us keep going. And just for like that business, we're going to keep going, because I know people always say, man, you love kids, and it's always been a dream. And people that know me, I'm like, man, I can't wait to open my own school, but I don't see a way. You know, you want to start out, you gotta need this, you gotta need that. And I'm and like I said, I'm the crazy one. I'm stepping out on faith. I'm doing research. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing research. So hopefully one of these days when I call, I will just testify and say, hey, just like we got the house on faith and God was just in it. You know, we don't want to do nothing that God is not proud of. We always bring him in. But like I said, I've always, you know, felt like God always give me that desire to like just go. I don't know how it's gonna happen, but I'm just stepping out. I don't care how it's gonna be taken care of. I just feel like when once I have that urge, that go, you need to go. So I just got up. I started doing research, but I remember Donald Strike kind of like triggers that too, because he was like, "Why are we not doing our own thing, babe? I mean, we could do that baker business." And I'm like, "Okay." And I just started looking at school. I was just doing research. And then, hey, and now, you know, we just praying. We found a school, a Christian school. We just praying. Right now, praying really for financial. But, you know, like you said, Terrence, once you have God on your side, so really money is not a problem. Because if that's his will, if that's what he wants, he's going to come quick. Just like this house, till this day, people coming in. How y'all able to afford this house? I don't get it. Hey, God, right. You know, the 3 years, we still paying it. You know, some people might say this house don't look like us because I'm a teacher. You know, teachers don't even get paid. But when they coming in here, they're like, okay, I must be doing something else. But I tell them, we ain't doing nothing else. It's God.
not thinking.
Oh my God.
Legit. People think the parents is engaging in illegal activities and have asked because of.
God.
Oh my!
Right, I'm like, I remember you told me, I'm like, somebody actually asked you that? The nerve, like.
It's so funny. I laugh, and it's been on more than one occasion. I'm like, what are y'all seeing, man?
And I told him, I said, if you were engaging in illegal activities, why would you tell them, oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing, you know, like, come on. But it just shows how powerful. with God, you won't. He's always gonna have you stand out. Mm-hmm. You know where, like
Amen.
You said, they'll say a teacher salary. You know what? Or you know they'll say you know
yeah.
whatever salary. You know he'll always have a stand out, just like a king's kid. You know a king's kid is, you know, royalty. There's something that comes along with it. They're not shabby. Unless they want to be shabby, you know, unless they want to kind of blend in or whatever, but they stand out. And that's what God has done for us too. You know, where we stay, we're amongst kind of snobs. And that's just being honest. The snobs and the snooty. You know, we have some great neighbors, but we're amongst a certain type of people. And so it's kind of trippy for us that here we are, and, you know, we've got a certain class of people. They drive with their pinky out, you know, and then here we are, just kind of plopped in the middle of them. But right, but we just, you know, it's the favor of God. This is where God has planted us, and we just thank God for it. And so. Just keep believing, you know, that school is going to happen.
Amen.
That's going to happen, period. And it's like you said, Tanya, it's not a matter of how God's going to do it. Like, you don't even worry about that. You just know he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause it's not what can you do. What can you believe?
Right.
That's it. Because he could do everything.
Mm-hmm.
If he could make something out of all this, make something out of nothing, then he could do anything.
This stuff we talking about, he laughing at like...
Right, because we'd be like, I need the finances, I need the credit, the backing, I need to have this, that. We don't need that but Jesus.
He's like, ask and have faith. You ain't even owe me. I've already done it. Like your faith is the withdrawal.
That's the debit card.
Yeah, go in there and put your debit card in and put in the PIN code of belief.
Right. That's it. Because they always would, how will you be paying?
Right.
Jesus paid it all at the cross. So I don't know how to do it. It's your money, but I know how it's what ultimately is going to cause you to get paid financially.
and some people, even amongst us as believers, find it hard to believe God to do things beyond your paycheck.
Right, and outside of the system.
And outside of the system.
Because we're not subject to that. I was talking to my to our oldest daughter today, and I was telling her how we're in the world and not of the world, and I was explaining to her about the systems of the world and how we should know how the systems of the world work, but we're not subject to them because we're subject to God's kingdom.
Right.
His kingdom is different. It's in direct opposition. God's kingdom would say, give if you want. To the world, that's madness. I want a daycare, so I'm gonna sow seed and fast and do this. What? You're going to sow seed? You need to be saving that. You need to be hoarding that. You need to be, but God's principle is to give if you want. Give and it shall be given unto you. So the way the kingdom works is not the same as the way the world works. And I was explaining that to them. So that's how we operate. We're kingdom people. We don't care about credit scores and down payments and good faith letters or whatever they're asking. That doesn't apply to us.
That's a
world thing. We're in it. We ain't of it. And our way, the kingdom way, supersede anything with the world. You know, we've told the story several times when we got our house, and they were talking about, you're going to need this, that, and you have $10,000 for title and this, blah, blah. They started throwing all these numbers. And I was looking like a deer caught in the head. Like, we ain't got that. I'm calculating it with my fingers, you know, finger counting. One, two. No, that ain't adding up. What you saying and what we got, that. But I was like, whatever. And Terrence told our realtor, like, we ain't got it, but, you know, it's going to work itself. God will make a way. And he was right. We didn't need none of it. We literally, everything they said we was going to need, we didn't need. And we believed the opposite. We believed we wasn't going to have to pay nothing for the down payment. We believed we wasn't going to have to have any closing costs. That was insane. I remember even our lender telling us, like, you don't want to pay closing costs. And we were like, yeah, no, we don't want to pay closing costs. We didn't. We got a refund. We got two refunds, one from the builder and one from the lender at closing. We didn't have to pay all that $10,000. Wow. Everything we believed for, we got, even though it was the complete opposite of what the world, the system says that you need. Because it wasn't what to God do, is what we believe. So we believed it. Because I remember when Terrence was like, I don't want to pay no closing costs. I said, well, typically you do when you buy a house. I said, you know what? I'm going to believe with you. We ain't paying no closing costs. I was like, that's crazy, but it's possible. Crazy don't mean you can't do it. Because even God said when they was trying to build a whole tower to heaven, how crazy does that sound, to build something from earth into heaven? That sounds insane. If somebody said they was going to do that, they would throw them in a padded room so quickly and lock them away for life. But God said, God had to scatter the people in the languages, because he said, what man set his mind to, that shall he accomplish. We can do it if we believe. Even build a tower to heaven, as insane as that sounds, when we know about aerodynamics and space and all that kind of stuff, but that it would have been possible to do it. We would have found a way to do it. So God had to say, he said, oh, no, you ain't about to be trying to just pop up on me. Let me go on and scatter these languages and stuff so you're not able to do it. So it can be done. So we really believed it. Crazy don't stop nothing. Crazy, just because it sounds crazy, don't mean it can't be done. So you just have to, you know, if you look crazy, so be it. You know, because they'll tell you, okay, you want to get this building, this, that, and the other, and you're going to need this, and this, and this. And some things are practical that you'll need. But all that extra stuff, you just be like, okay, God, you're going to take care of that. We ain't doing that. We ain't doing it. We still going to have this daycare. We still going to have this, you know, everything, register, logos, all that. You know, you can believe for God to send the attorneys or whatever you need for all the legalities for it to be free. People be like, that's crazy. You know how much attorneys cost? We'll find the one that's pro bono that'll do it on the strength of the Lord. Just believe for it, because it's going to happen.
Amen.
It's going to happen. And then you'll have a test. People say, how'd you guys get this daycare? And you'll say, belief. It started with a vision from and a desire, and we just took it a day at a time. And now here we are, and that will inspire other people. So just keep pushing and believing, because we're pushing and believing with you. I know it's going to happen.
Amen.
The Lord had me singing.
Amen.
I don't see nobody had me singing that greatest love of all.
Yeah, as soon as you were singing and talking about the kids, yeah, we were just like, oh, man, she's talking about the daycare, man.
The children are our future. That's real. And they need godly principles, because even the school system is just, you know, the regular school system, they're trying to keep up with being inclusive and trends and all this kind of stuff. We don't need that. We need a good Christian background. Even my oldest son, when I was unsaved, I had him in a Christian school and didn't even really realize it. And in that same preschool, they had a private elementary school, and he went to that until we moved out here to Texas. But here God used, he planted my son in a Christian daycare, and I didn't pick it because it was a Christian daycare. It was like one of the closest ones to me and all this kind of stuff, but gave my son that foundation that he needed because at that time I wasn't saved. And then by the time I got saved and realized, I was like, wow, Lord, here you was already surrounding my son when I wasn't even serving you yet. And then he ended up going to their elementary school. So he ended up, when we moved out here, he was so ahead of the school system out here. Plus he had that godly foundation that I was able to, excuse me, build on. But it didn't start with me. It started with that preschool. Just like in my life. It started with my preschool teaching me godly things. So it makes a difference. You know, it could be some little knucklehead kid at 3-4, and, you know, they end up being a prophet or a pastor or a leader in the community or something. It makes a difference. Those kids are coming to you, know who they will end up being. But the fact that God has set you to, you know, appointed you to pour into their lives is a big deal. You can be pouring into the next Billy Graham, you know, or some great leader, some presidential leader or political leader that's going to do godly things. You just never know who's going to come through those doors because they're so small at the time that they come. You just never know, you know, but you just pour into them because God has assigned them. There's children that have not been born yet that is assigned to your daycare. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's a big deal. haven't even been born yet. They exist because God said, if God says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb, you existed before you came into the earth. So they already exist in the mind of God because God has them in mind and is the reason why he's giving you that daycare because he needs a place for them. So they already exist in the mind of God. He's just waiting on, I don't know what parents or whatever. But they already exist, and they're already assigned to your daycare, including the parents. You know, his parents might be coming, dropping kids off and leaving, and you might notice something and minister to those parents, change their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people assigned to you. It's going to be more than just a daycare center. It's going to be a place of hope for people and growth and love where people can feel, you know, safe. That's a beautiful thing. So just it's above and beyond what you're thinking. It's above and beyond that. But it's gonna happen.
Amen. We received that.
Amen. Well, thank y'all both for calling in. You guys can pull that out of us.
Even got you to sing.
You see what I'm saying? That's special because I'm telling you, I would not sing. Terrence would be like, sing, and I'd be like, nope. I won't do it. So that's a big deal. But that song, when you started talking, Donald, it just popped in my head. And like immediately. And I'm like, not a Whitney Houston song. And I love Whitney Houston. But I was like, what? Not a Whitney song? I said, God does. He going to do what he do, but he makes it to where you understand what he's saying.
Amen. Amen. And I'll just leave this with you guys and with anybody else that's listening. What God dropped in my spirit the other day is just we always have the advantage. You know, a lot of time we look at things that we coming from the disadvantage. And, man, I don't have this, I don't have that, and you know, and but God just dropped in my spirit the other day, like, nah, man, you always got, because if it's me and God against you and whoever, you know, I got a clear advantage. You know, we always have the clear advantage, you know, against any opponents, against anything that's in our way. I mean, there's no comparison, you know. It just, you don't need a whole team. or it's just you. It's just like David and Goliath. It was just David and God against Goliath. You know, it didn't matter what he had. It didn't matter about his, you know, the artillery. It didn't matter about his clothing, his uniform, and all that. All he just needed God. And that's just for all of us, you know, that's going against whatever may be your mountain, whatever may, you know, where you trying to figure out, man, but God, how you gonna do this? How you gonna do it? It doesn't matter. Just like The Rock used to say, it doesn't matter. doesn't matter how, you know, how he gonna do it. You know, I even caught myself along the other day. I was just sitting there trying to, you know, come up with ideas, you know, okay, maybe I could take a loan. And this and that, I said, man, what am I doing? I said, man, let me go to sleep. I said, what I'm worrying about this, like trying to figure out how I'm gonna. I said, I didn't come up with this idea. I said, I ain't gonna kill my brain and try to figure it out. I said, God, you figure it out. You know, hey, you just do what you do. But you know, I just want to leave everybody with that. You know, that you know, we got the advantage. I know a lot of times we look at it like we weak and we and which we are, we traveling, you know, we up against a big mountain, and we up against this big thing, and we just look at little old me, like, how I'm going to do this, and how it's like, no, it's like, you got a clear advantage. The devil's really look at you. If you really know who you are, and you really know who you got on your side, that the devil will really be scared and fearful. But a lot of times he knows that we don't know. We don't know, like, who we got. We don't know that. He knows God. You know, he knows God. And he just sitting there and said, man, if you guys really took advantage and took, you know, really looked at God like the way we're supposed to, then he'll be no match for us. You know, he'll be no match for us at all. And he knows that. But it's just that we ignorant in a lot of things and just our faith sometimes. But that's what God just dropped in me the other day. He said, nah, don't look at this thing like, you know, it's, you know, you against, oh, it's a whole lot of people, a big army that you up against. And it's like, nah, it's just me and you. Hey, ain't nobody could beat this team, man. And that's just how it is. We on top. It's not the other way around. And they trying to beat us. It ain't we trying to beat them. They trying to beat us. So it's like we trying to get this daycare and whatever like that. It don't matter what we come up against. It's like, hey, we coming through. You know, right. I just better move out the way, man. That's just what it is.
Yep. Amen.
Right. That's real.
That's a good word. That is a good word.
Real.
And that's right on time because that's so true. You know, the devil, he knows. We the one that don't know. We don't think about it. The fight, since you fighting a good fight of faith. That's what you're fighting because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The devil can't touch you, you know, without God's permission. So what is the devil fighting you for? He's fighting you for your faith because he knows that what you believe is what you're going to receive.
Mm-hmm.
So if he could just get you to
say,
man, you're going to need $75,000 now. You ain't got that. You need to just focus on something else. Oh, yeah, you right. You know, I ain't got that. So that's me. Once I get the $75,000 down, then I'll focus on. See, he knows what he's doing. It's trickery.
Yeah,
it's trickery. So, yep, he fighting us for our belief.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fight. It's the fight of faith, because he knows that if we know, it's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wrap. So that's a on time word.
He know.
Oh yeah, he be knowing. That's what he be afraid of. He be afraid of us having that understanding. He don't want us to have understanding. I wrote something down. I'm going to say this before I let y'all go, because I remember the Lord gave me revelation about something a few weeks back. I put it in my notes in my phone. Okay, so this was on, what day was this? Where's my, does it tell me? I guess it doesn't. Let me see if it gives me details. No, I guess it doesn't. It says, the devil is not overly concerned about exposure. He cares about your belief. Do you believe what was exposed? Because something can be exposed, and exposed means the light is brought to it. You can see it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
He don't care about what you see if you don't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
If I'm bringing something light to you, but you don't believe it, the devil don't care about the exposure. He cares about your belief.
Right.
So something could be exposed, yeah. And he'll whisper in your ear trying to tell you the opposite of what you've seen. That's not what they said.
You believe it?
Dear God, will you surely die? He tried to flip things. It's a twist of words. Like he came to eat. Will you really die if you eat that fruit? And I said you would, but he twisted it. That's what he'll do. He don't care about what you see. He don't care about you getting the knowledge of it if you don't believe what you have learned. That's what he wants. He cares about your belief. You can learn all you want to. How many people can tell you, I know the Bible back and forth, and just live shabby lives? Because they know it by head knowledge, but they don't believe it. Oh, yeah, I knew some people that knew the Bible back and forth shabby. I mean, they was one French fry away from living under a bridge and no power in their life because they didn't believe what they knew. But they knew the word. They could repeat it like a parakeet, but they didn't believe it. So he don't care what you learn. He care what you believe. Right. Do like a parrot. Eating it.
Yeah.
You can be so proud of that. Mm. You can quote scripture. But do you believe that scripture? I can quote all sorts of stuff. I don't believe some of it. Mm-hmm. I can quote Greek mythology. I don't believe that to be true. But I can quote it. So that was an on-time word. We need that as a body of Christ because where God is trying to take, he's really trying to make us independent. He's trying to get us out of the worldly systems and the corporate system, give us our own type of system, our own corporate, so to speak. Because if they could feed you, they could starve you.
That's right.
And so he's putting it back in our hands. Well, you ain't got no power because when you feel like somebody got power over how you gonna eat and power over your family's livelihood, you will become somewhat of a puppet. Oh, if I say the wrong thing, they're gonna take my they gonna starve me. Power and money, control. But God is gonna give the power and the money to us as believers, to where when the world is doing all this its thing and the Antichrist is coming into to rule and reign and this false prophet and all this stuff, we can boldly speak out because you ain't got no power. You can't control me. Mm. You ain't got the power to starve me. I'm already cushioned out. You a day late and a dollar short. So I have the boldness to be able to say what I want to say and you can't do nothing about it. Because a lot of times people aren't bold like that when they know that there could be repercussion that could be detrimental to their livelihood. And some people don't care. They'd be like, look, I'm just going to have to eat beans under a bridge. I'm going to say what I got to say. You know, there's always different types of people, but a lot of people will be cautious about what they say when they feel like the person they're speaking out against has the power to starve them. So God is positioning us as a church to where we can be bold. When that day comes, when that Antichrist comes in the room, we will see it in our time. But we'll be able to point it out to say, no, I know this man's coming with the Hollywood smile and making it like, oh, we're just one big kumbaya happy family, but that's a devil. And they won't be able to do nothing to us because we already have our own systems in place, our own ways of making money and all that they can't touch. But it's what we do right now that's going to put us in that position. And so many people are just shaky. They don't want to step out on faith. They don't want to because it's scary. You can't see the faith. You know, you can't see it. I can see a check coming into my direct deposit every 2 weeks. But if I quit that job and do this, I don't know what's going to happen. But when you have that faith in God, you do know what's going to happen. Success.
Yep.
But a lot of people are just, you know, a lot of people are scared. And so we just got to keep speaking those words to edify and encourage the body of Christ because we need to be in position. So many people are going to be, you know, out there, and it's not because God wanted them out there on the outside looking in. It's because they're not moving. The time is running short. There's a such thing as too late. If God said go catch the train at 2:45 and you get there at 2:55, the train gone. So it's not that it wasn't there. You weren't. You didn't show up. God showed up. You didn't. And so we need to show up with our faith because we got to position ourselves and build. Times are going to change quick. Like I've always talked about a time where they're going to snatch that internet and people be looking at me like I'm crazy. It's going to happen. Then what? They snatch that internet. You know, things are going to crumble faster than I don't know what. They thought that the economy went bad when the government shutdowns happened during COVID. Imagine when the internet shut down. A lot of these places, these companies don't even have no backup. They're so dependent on the internet. They depend on the internet like they depend on the sun rising every day.
Mm.
So it gets shut down. They're not going to know what to do. Because everything is based, everything's internet-based. Pay systems, financial upkeepings, you know, clocks, everything. Everything with a job for most companies is all internet-driven. You mess with the internet, that'll crush people. But if we're already in a position where we already have our own system and God will have our own, like a daycare, you don't need no internet. Internet go down, you can still open your door and watch kids and minister to them and sing and love on them. They don't require that. You know, God's going to position us to where, of course, we use it as a tool, but if it, the tool was snatched, we're not chickens with our heads cut off.
Mm.
So we're just going to see that. There's going to be a lot of shift where God is, I'm noticing a lot of people in the body of Christ are feeling that pull to go into business for themselves.
Amen.
A lot of them won't. They won't because they just, it's a scary thing for a lot of people. But it's necessary because when that time comes, man, people are going to be kicking themselves in the pants. Wishing that they would have listened. Wishing that they would have showed up at 2:45 instead of 2:55. Train gone. But God has grace, so we just they gonna have to rely on that.
Amen.
Well, it was good talking to y'all. Y'all said y'all always pull it out of us.
No, it was good. It was good talking, man. Good talking, and we got blessed. We had a little service, but we just appreciate you guys. Always continue to be faithful, you know, being there every night that you guys come on, and we just thank God for your faithfulness, man, to the ministry and what you guys are doing, and being there for a lot of people that needs this. There's a lot of people that need this, need to hear from the people of God, need to hear from you guys, you know, so we just appreciate you guys taking your time and your sacrifice.
Thank you. We appreciate that. It's our pleasure.
Always.
Thank you all for calling in tonight.
All right,
and we'll be continuing to pray for you, and we look forward to the testimony.
Absolutely.
All right. It's coming.
Yeah.
All right. Good night.
Love y'all, man.
Good night. Love you.
Love you, too. Time is it? It's 11:50. You want to take another one and then, or you want to do a collective prayer? What you want to do? Huh? You want to go to sleep? Before you go to sleep, I'm going to take this one real quick. I just have to give this word. I think this is Lisa. 610-969.
Oh, my goodness. Shalom, familia. Shalom. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. Okay, so this is what happened. Let me say that Donald and Tanya, they are blessed of the Lord. They are blessed of the Lord because I was online and I got bumped out like 3 times. And I was like, God, this must be you doing this for someone else. And I want to stick and see who it's for. And it was Donald and Tanya. I was like, oh, that's so good. I just love the way God works because I wasn't even touching the phone and it was like, because you were off the host queue. And I was like, oh, okay. And then, yeah, it happened like 3 times. And I even had to call back in. And then I was like, okay, I'm bugging. So I pressed it. And then they said, it said it again a little bit later. But it was right before Donald and Tanya. It was the other sister. So then I was just like, okay. And then it happened again. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to see what you're doing, guy. And that's when they had called in. And then the phone dropped, so I had to call back in. So I was just like, you know what I mean? I know it wasn't warfare. I thought it was just some glitch. But I knew it was something after a while it kept happening, you know? I was just like, I don't think is this an angel? Like, he's rearranging time things. And then I was able to, like, listen the whole time because I would have went to sleep, you know, and I got to be blessed by everybody's conversation. So, oh, that was awesome. I loved it.
Wow.
So, yeah, God is good. And how he even said right before, he said, you know, he said that, what did he say? Something about being favored of the Lord, but how did he put it? This is for somebody, he said. And I was like, yeah, it's for you. He said, this is my duty to encourage somebody that, you know, God is with us, or, you know, so that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
They actually came to the ministry, to PGN, at the same time I did, in January of 2014. So I was like, oh, snap. Like, so we have that in common.
Oh,
I heard
that
one night telling Prophet Randy. Yeah. When did y'all come to the ministry?
I came, I want to say, October of 2014. I was laid off. So I got laid off February, March, April, May, June, July, August. Yeah, so I came August of 2014.
Oh, okay.
Fast. Yep. And then Terrence came maybe August or September of 2016.
Okay, after y'all met, right? That was after
mm-hmm.
y'all met.
Yep.
Okay.
After I got to know him. So, yeah, I think he came about September of 2016. Yep.
Setting process.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the Holy Spirit, you know, brought y'all together. So, but
mm-hmm.
still, I guess you just need that confirmation and just, you know, let the process take its course.
Yes.
Oh, so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Wow. Okay.
I saw that you had called on Wednesday, and then your call dropped when we got to you.
Yeah, so, yeah, the call dropped.
Did you get a chance to call in and listen to it? Because I still remember the prophecy.
No, thank you for letting me know, because I didn't even get a chance to listen to it. Yeah, so I was just like, oh, okay, the call dropped. I'm going to be at the end of the host. It was like the 15 minutes, so I just was like, and then I called in the Prophet Randy a little bit later. I think I did on Wednesday. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but
you
I remember I saw the number,
because
I had wrote it. I had put the number in my notes, so I just still did it in order, even though I saw, I was like, oh, she's gone. But I was like, I think that's Lisa. I was like, well, she's gone. I was like, but I'm still to the prophecy. So when I saw you tonight, I was like, let me tell her, because I remember. Most of the time, I don't remember. I don't even remember the prophecy.
Oh, thank you, God.
So,
that
yeah,
is so
that's
good.
Oh. Like, that's why when Terrence was like, he's ready to go to sleep, I'm like, okay, but let's get this one real quick, because I remember that prophecy.
I feel you, brother.
On Wednesday, and I remember that you dropped, and it was just really important. And what it was God said he was going to reignite you. Because
thank you,
when
God.
We toil, you know, sometimes we feel the term that we use when we toil a lot is burned out, right? We get burned
yes.
out.
Yes. Okay.
And God
yes,
said he
ma'am.
Was basically putting like Holy Spirit gasoline on you to reignite you.
Oh, thank
so that
you,
you're
Jesus.
On fire again. Because sometimes we really
thank
feel like
Lord, God.
The fire done went out. And we're like,
yes,
okay,
I need
the fire was hot. And then you keep going and going and going and going, and then you burned out, literally. You're burned out.
Yes.
And I saw literally when I got to your number, I saw like, it was like pouring on you. And I'm like, okay, what is that? And it was like gasoline, Holy Spirit gasoline. And I saw
Hallelujah.
God lighting a match, whoosh, and now you're back on fire. Like he's going to put you back on fire. Because sometimes when
oh
we feel like that was a season. Like, okay, I was on fire, but now I'm like, you know, you start to kind of get jaded and you start to feel like, you know, you get tired of stuff and people, they get on my nerves and yada, yada. And especially when you've been fighting like that Jezebel spirit. That Jezebel spirit will wear you out.
Yes.
It will wear you into the ground.
Can you speak on that one? Oh.
It's so nasty. Gaslight. It flips the script.
Mm.
I mean, it's such a nasty spirit to deal with, especially when you're exposed. Like when you don't, when you're unaware of it,
and it still thinks that, like, you're on its side. It tries to, you know, try, it doesn't give you a lot of problems. It's very controlling. But once you expose it, that thing is nasty. Mm. That is a horrible spirit.
Yes.
It's draining. And it's almost a pull that you almost become obsessed with it. Like you're constantly
and you,
like
and you want to like just run and hide or kill it.
You're just so frustrated. It's like you feel like you just kind of want to rip your head off and dribble it and throw it in a trash can somewhere. I mean, it will, if you allow it, it will drive you insane. That is a, especially once you recognize it, because it doesn't come off that way. It comes off as all helpful and all spiritual and this, that, and the other. And then when you recognize what it is, and then especially when you, you know, when you identify it, and then you know how it's tricking everybody else around it. Everybody, you can't even tell most people to say, hey, this person's demonic. Because it has always built a reputation of being spiritual and a good person and helpful. So they'll try to make you look like the crazy one. Because it's very calculated. And it can burn you out when you've been dealing with it. And God is reigniting you. God is reigniting the fire. That you have had to continue to do the work that he's assigned to you. Because especially when you've been battling something for years, it's one thing when you've been dealing with it for a little bit of time, but when you've been dealing with it for a long time, you get tired. That's just human nature. There ain't no human that's dealing with some mess for a long time and ain't tired. That's natural. God is reigniting you to continue to do the work. So, Lord, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit gasoline, and we thank you for lighting the match, Father God, and lighting Lisa back up. I remember the first word you gave for us, Lord, you said she was a fireball. That's how you described it to us, fireball. And we thank you. She's still a fireball. Even if she was burned out, she's still a fireball. That didn't stop her from being who she is, and you just repositioning her and making the flame even brighter. Because now she's armed with more knowledge. Now she's armed with the schemes of the enemy so that she can identify them and recognize them now. So now she's hotter than she was before. So even though she went through a season of being out, the payoff is that she's hotter now and more equipped now. And now she's got more of a want to take the enemy down. Like, oh, no, devil, you're coming down.
Yep.
You're not going to be destroying lives, and that spirit's not going to be wreaking havoc in the church and ministries and all that. You're coming down. So now you've given her a taste for blood for the enemy's neck to take him out, to take him out. And now she sees no trickery involved no more, no smoke screens, none of that, because now she can identify right away, even when it's trying to present itself to be something that it's not, because once you have a feel for something, you can't trick a person. Like, no, I know what this feels like, and I know what this is. And I don't care what you're presenting, what the dance you're trying to do, I see you. And I'm calling it out. So we thank you for that, Father God. We thank you for that fire, for the fireball status hotter than it was before. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. God is so good. Thank you. Yeah, there's something that I think I've been dealing with. It's called compassion fatigue, and that's burnout. So, you know, that's like a psychological term or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just the, you know, of course, not that I think. I know that's the flesh because, you know, we have the Holy Spirit. So, you know, there's a time for rest and a reigniting, right, and regrouping, you know, and all that. So, yeah, a redirecting. So, yeah, I'm kind of like everything that you said always on point, because it's Holy Ghost. So I'm thankful. I'm seeking the Lord for counsel and direction on honoring, because, you know, I believe in that strongly. Honoring without the how do I put this? You know, dealing with the nonsense and the okie doke and all that, and like having boundaries and wisdom within that. Like, what is it? I'll be like, what does it look like to you, Father? How do you want me to, you know, interact and relate these situations and these people, especially my loved ones, you know, we're not seeing eye to eye, and I don't want to go adapt to dysfunction. You know, like, I want to progress, keep on going, climbing that mountain. So that's where I'm asking, like, Father, what is it that, what is my role? And, you know, they're not receiving me in a way that you know how the Lord says in the word about dust your feet off, you know, shake the dust off your feet rather, and keep it moving, take your blessing with you. So I know that's for when you're in ministry. But your family is your first ministry. So I'm just asking God how to balance that out, how to, and not only just family, just loved ones, you know, the family of Christ, you know, how like some people are for ministry, not your, you know, like your friends, so to speak, and just having to balance all the interpersonal, relational interactions, and what that looks like, because you know there's a lot of ministry out there. The intercession is crazy, like, and I wanna guard that because I'm so sensitive that I don't want to be burnt out. You know, like you said, like I can get burnt out just from because there's so much brokenness, you know, in the world and in today out here. What's going on? I feel it all. So I want to like guard my giftings or appropriate them to where God, where the blessing is, you know, how God will prepare the hearts ahead of time for him to be received as, you know, as Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. You don't want to just cast your pearls because sometimes you're just spinning your wheels. So that's what I'm asking, Father, you know, to show me, to give me more wisdom and just more discernment and counsel in that area. And also always healing. You have to heal your soul because if not, your giftings and the prophetic gets clouded through the, you know, through the flesh, through the soul realm. And so I'm asking him to go deeper, you know, and, you know, basically see if there's any offensive way. And there is, you know, because, you know, we're humans, so like get it all out, bring it to the surface, show me, you know, the areas where there's woundings that might cloud the lens in my, like they might skew my perception or how I relate, you know. So that's where I'm at, you know. So I'm thankful because I need that reigniting. I'll never leave the Lord. Like, there's not, I mean, they say never say never, but I don't see me getting too. Like today at church, the pastor was like, if you're down, I didn't feel down and out. Like, you know, if you're down and out, feel like giving up. I don't feel that. I'm just like over churchianity. Like, I'm over it. Like, come on, where's the fivefold? Where's the book of Acts? Where's the true bride of Christ, the true ecclesia? Can we rise up? That's what I'm looking, like-minded. And, you know, and also having... just having some grace and mercy to remember where I came from and where people are because I've been there. So balancing all that out so that it doesn't fall into pride, spiritual pride, you know, like, so I'm asking God, okay, where is that fine line? Where is that? Like when I have no toleration and I'm just like, ugh, but at the same time, I want to have compassion, always have compassion, but, I don't want to, I'm repeating myself, cast my pearls, you know, I don't want to just spin my wheels and go through the motions and or be in covenant relationships with brothers and sisters that are not, you know, in the same page. Like, you know, I don't want to play church. I don't care about no potlucks. I want to, you know, get out into the street. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. Okay. I want to, you know, there's a whole harvest out here. People are hurting. I want to see the captives set free. I want to see the hearts healed. You know, like we want to bring solutions to the people. We don't want to just have this, like, whatever, this Western institutionalized, organized religiosity system. You know, I don't want it no more. I want it to be torn down. And the real kingdom of God built. So that's where I'm at. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the call. And I think that was an angel who did that. I don't think, like, you could tell when it's warfare, you know, like there's a different feeling when you could tell when you're going through, you know, glitches, computer or whatever, technology glitches, and it's warfare, you know, like it's an attack. I don't think that was. I don't know. It was so bizarro. Like, it made, and then I was so, like, I was like, it just made me think, like, okay, God, what are you doing? All right. Who's going to be, who are you putting in front? Okay, let them go in front. Let me see who it is. You know what I mean? Oh, my goodness. God is so good.
Yes, he is.
Wow. I guess I was determined, too, to stay on tonight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the other night, I was just like, okay, forget it. This phone is dropping and whatever. It's already over. I'm doubting you. And look, you guys still saw it and you still prayed. That's so good. God is so good.
Yep, he made sure you got what you needed. When you drop music, I'm like, I hope she calls back and listens to that. And then when I saw your number, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to give her that word for Wednesday. So, you know.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, a Wednesday word. It was a word that you needed. So God makes sure that you get what you need.
Yeah, he does. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good, man.
Yeah,
I want to ask y'all something real quick off the subject.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just ask an opinion. Maybe other listeners can, you know, everybody has their own opinion. So when the pastor was talking today, we had some missionaries come in. It was pretty powerful, the missionaries, when they give their testimonies of what they go through and how sold out they are for Christ. You know, they were from Mongolia, and that's like a real new country for the gospel, you know, and it's kind of treacherous over there. So these people were burnt out, and the pastor went, and he was ready, you know, they were ready about to give up and quit, and he was able to encourage them. So today, 3 years later, they were giving awesome testimonies, and they've been going through it. I mean, they almost died of COVID. They have all these other physical health issues, but they're so the real deal, you know, like the real deal. Like, they love God. They are so dedicated and everything. And so they were just being transparent about how, like, when you, you know, I guess get burnt out and want to quit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't feel like I was in that position. Like, I don't want to give up or anything like that. So maybe that's why God is talking to me tonight through you guys, because but I still will go for prayer no matter what. Like, I'm so, like, for lack of a better description word, greedy for prayer sometimes. Like, you know, we always love prayer. So, so the Lord gave me prophetic, insight about how people were being embarrassed and they didn't want to get prayer from these missionaries. And I figured I knew who they were, and I was right, because I discussed it with some people and they were like, oh yeah, well, I think I should have went, but I was too embarrassed. And I was just like, well, to me, I'm like wondering why do people get embarrassed to get prayer when God knows everything? And God puts it on the minister's hearts, you know, to speak and to call out stuff. I don't understand why people would get embarrassed. Because I feel like, to me, I've always been a person who sought after prayer and ministry and deliverance when I needed deliverance. You know, like, the pain of being bound was so much more that I couldn't even focus on possibly be embarrassed. Like, mm-hmm. I was just always desperate. So I was just wondering, like, what do you think that's from? Of course it's from the enemy, but, like, why would someone be embarrassed to receive ministry?
I think people, a lot of times, they don't want to, unfortunately, sometimes in church culture, people want to pretend like everything's okay, which is weird because we go to church to learn, grow, and to be set free. But people want to make it seem like everything's okay. And so if they need prayer, then that's proof that everything's not okay. They're just concerned what people think about them, but that's not what we go to church for. I don't care what you think about me. I need to be set free. So I need a word.
Yeah. Yeah.
It comes with growth because everybody's faith level and relationship. All our relationships are different when it comes down to the Creator, right? God deals with you like He don't deal with you no other way than He deal with other people, you know. But He's God to all. Right? And so when it comes down to going through, you know, like the religious protocol, you know, as far as through tradition and things like that, it still comes down to relationships and people growing and us understanding that we're all at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
But on the right path.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
You know, we're all on the same path, but we're all not like lined up next to one another. We're all on the same path in different places, in different states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the path. And so you got people behind you. You got people in view, right in front of you, and you got people so far ahead you can't even see them. But we're all on the same path. And so what we are, it's like you just have to just be like, okay, we're all on the same path, because the enemy will use it to cause division.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy will use that to call us to fight and be at one another based off of things that I don't even think God is concerned about. Because we are questioning about things because God did make us that way. And we'd be wondering, like, why you don't see it the way I see it? But God had to deal with that. I show you things that I don't want to show nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
But I deal with you the way I deal with you because that's what I gave you the drive for to do.
Yeah.
And you focus on that. And you do that. Because, it seems to be lonely when you be like, man, how come everybody don't flow like me or expect to see it the way that I expect to see it? And there are other people that's part of the body that connect, because it's like in the body, on our natural body, you know, everybody can't be a toe. You got 10 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the toes don't matter. The toes can understand each other better because they toes.
Yeah.
You know, them ankles understand things different. You know, them knees understand things a little different. You know, like, man, knees looking at the thighs like, man, come on. Man, why you ain't hurting like me right now? Why I have to be the one to have a meniscus by me and then it's torn? But you sitting up there all strong, you know, you solid ball, you know, but we all just stay where we are and understand that we're all connected and we're all supporting each other. We're all supporting each other.
Well, we don't know about that one, but
since I'm being reignited.
Right.
Talk to me next week. So I'll be like, kumbaya, be back.
Right. Man.
I want us all to support each other, though, on a real tip, but.
I definitely understand where you're coming from. Definitely. Yes. I've been there and still be there on certain things. I'm still like that on certain things. So it ain't, it's the truth. That's a real thing. You do feel a certain way about certain things. You're like, man, come on. Why y'all doing this?
Yes.
They trying to do all this.
Yeah, when Tanisha said earlier about being jaded, I understand what she meant because, like, I was feeling a little disheartened, like, and borderline disillusioned, like, not like to quit or give up or anything like that, just, like, it causes me to really, like, be like, God, what's up? Like, people, like, your true, where's my kingdom connection in the area that I'm in, like, where I'm at, like, or reposition me or, you know, like, I don't know, when you just don't have, like, a connection, we're not, like, on the same page, and, you know, like, we were meant to have fellowship, you know, not the shallow, not the shallow, you know. So we're so blessed to have the PGN, you know, peeps, and, you know, you guys have the Kingdom Covenant connection, so that's, you can't get anything better than that. But within, like, our family, our what they call it, comunia, what I'm talking about. Like, it's just, like, it seems like I'm searching for more of a realness and committedness, like, devotion.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled out, like, really, really about the destiny that we have here on Earth, like, that I feel I have is not for this earth. It's for God's purpose in these end times. Cause I really believe we're in these end times. And so I'm looking for, like, more of fellowship in that way, where it's not about the petty and the perfectionism and the patty and all that. Like, does this really matter? Like, yo, like, it's time to get right. It's not, like, I don't want to be in covenant with people who are like the Sister Jennifer, fasting and praying. We could do it by ourselves. I always do it by myself. But more in that, you know, because, you know, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the church, you know, I say church, I call it churchianity. I still, you know, I'm part of it. So don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-church. I'm just, like, just so over it. Like, I'm so over the programs and, you know, like, just, okay, and go to church and sing our songs and listen to the announcements. Okay, punk and go to eat. You know, like, I'm looking for, like, the all-night prayer, the tarrying, the just letting the Holy Spirit flow, and whoever has a word, whoever has, you know, just more of that type of grassroots, like, home fellowship, like the Book of Acts and the disciples working together, the evangelists, the prophets, the teachers, pastoral hearts, you know, that shepherd the sheep. And looking at, like, a different model for some reason, like, the thing that I see is not what I read about and what I long for in my heart, you know? And this whole hierarchy system is so man-made. Like, it's I don't know. That's where I'm at. I could talk and talk, so I'm going to let go like that. And I'm just going to be thankful and grateful for you know, God put me in the place of mind that he wanted me to be in, you know, so I'm talking to y'all now. I'm thankful that you are so sensitive to Holy Spirit, and everybody was saying the same thing I always felt, so they're like, you're on point, oh my goodness, you hit the, you know, and I was just like, wow, yeah, they know their gifts, yeah, I think they do, but it's just a beautiful, amazing
are just synergistic in the flow of the Holy Spirit. So, and so it's a rare, it's a beautiful jewel that you guys have that flow together, because we know, I know so many, a lot of ministry couples. That's like very, very, very unique and pure and powerful and just a rare gem. That's all I gotta say, you know. So I honor the Holy Spirit in you guys, and also the obedience and the holiness and righteousness that you walk in, because you submit yourselves to the Lord and you are very authentic. So I just thank you for that. I can sense it, and I just really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well, thank you. We appreciate you seeing that in us, and we appreciate your commitment to the Lord and his work, despite, you know, how you feel. Because we all know it ain't about how we feel. It's about just making ourselves available.
Feeling about single. Yeah. Like I said, next week we'll be like, kumbaya, everybody.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's all bad. It's all good, you know. So thank you so much. I appreciate y'all. Have a good night's rest. What's the weather over there in Texas? How y'all doing?
It's good now. It's been flip-flopping, and we had some ice last week at the end of the week, and then this week we're going to be, like tomorrow it's going to be 64, then it's going to be 72, 74, so it's going to warm up.
Good.
Yeah, so it's
gonna last week y'all was freezing. They had a big festival over there.
Yeah, the last week was freezing. The schools were closed on Thursday because there was ice on the road.
It was what?
Ice on the road, so it's just been flip-flopping. Hot, cold, hot, cold.
Oh, okay, yeah. What was the day that it was real cold? What was 2/22? What day was that? Wednesday? What day was 2/22? Monday, Tuesday?
That was
Monday.
No, that was on a Tuesday.
That day, they had a festival out there. And over there in Dallas, I forget now, Glory Field or something, Joshua Fowler, Valley View, Texas. Where's that at? Y'all know where that is? Valley View? I think it's called Valley View.
Where's that hurt?
Yes, sir. I don't know where Valley View is.
Valley View?
But it's out there somewhere. It's over there where y'all are at. It's it was called Awake America or something like that. Anyway, they had a whole from 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock. They had a whole big thing out there. And James was there. Yeah. It was called Dance for the Generations. That's what it was called. And they're going to have it every 22nd of the month until God says stop. So the next time they're going to have it is 3/22 and then 4/22 and stuff. So they had it. The key of the key of something, you know, for the key of David on 2/22, and it was called Dance for the Generations, and I guess they were dancing and worshiping and all that. But I'm a big Tom Eddy James fan, so like when he was in Philly this past summer, I had went and Sean Futures with him, and then he was out there in Texas, so
That's
how I know about it. I seen it online, so yeah. All right, y'all. Have a good night's rest. Have a beautiful, I guess you guys are going to have a nice week. That's nice weather to me, because over here it's cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that 70-something degree weather. That's going to be really nice.
I know, right? Yeah. Okay. Happy spring in 2 weeks. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Spring is my season. I love spring. Everybody loves autumn. I love spring. I love it. I'd be just having energy. I'd just be happy for no reason. The birds are chirping. Mm-hmm. The flowers are blooming. The breeze is blowing. The sun is shining. You know, the green is coming on the trees and stuff. And we have like those trees that blossom. So I'm just like, I can't wait. So I can't wait till springtime comes. I'm not a winter person too much. I'm not really for the winter. So it is what it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All four seasons are of God, so we're going to just be thankful for their purposes. But
yeah.
I want to move down south, though. So. All right, y'all. I don't know if I took up all the time for the other callers. Sorry, callers.
We did it by God's leading, so that's the way God had it. We're gonna call it a night. And,
okay, y'all.
We love you. Thank you for calling in.
Love you back. Yeah. All right. And isn't that crazy? I was just saying, you've been removed off the host queue, or however the computer says it. You are. And I was like, what? That's so crazy to me. But, all right, y'all. Good night.
Good night. And good night, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We love you. We'll be praying for you. Have a blessed week. And until next time, good night.
Good night.